about.
Hello, I'm Bob Ross, and I'd like to welcome you. First of all, let me take just a moment to thank you for allowing me back into your homes. If this is your first time with us, let me extend a personal invitation for you to drag out your oil paints and paint along with us each week. Let's go over to the canvas here and let's get started.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Playing a joke at you like an automatic weapon of comedy. We throw a curveball joke at you, hit you right in the head, you go, wow, what happened? We take you on a little trolley ride down Story Lane, you're having a good time, enjoying our little tale, think you know what's coming, boom, left turn! You don't know how it happened, you don't know where you are, but you like it. You're yucking it up, you're laughing, your sides are hurting, all of a sudden you realize you're feeling something too. What did that happen?
Do a little dance, make a little love, get down tonight?
I can dig it.
Don't bogart that joint. My friend, pass it over to me.
You're gay and Republican.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
How do the ladies resist that rap ears?
Roll another one.
Antigonish, Nova Scotia. Hello.
Just like the other one.
We've got ourselves a bleeder.
This one seems to be a problem.
Hey, cat.
I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
This is what everybody's been waiting for.
Roll. 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 Another one.
Well, guess what?
It's hammer time.
Just like.
That's a genius idea.
This one seems to be about sense.
Tissue, please. I now need tissue.
I don't have another sense.
It's a complete and utter waste of time.
All right, thank you very much.
Megan Fox, what do you have? Weird thumbs.
Just pass it around.
You're an idiot asshole.
And now.
I think it's hot. It's hot. It's hot. It's tight. It's a hit, man, and I like it. I'm going to go get it. That's a keeper right there.
Thanks, King.
Our feature presentation.
Who is he saying thanks, King, to?
He was telling a story. That's Bob Costas from the NBC broadcast team for the Olympics in London. He was telling a story about, I think it was Jim Thorpe, the famous Olympian Jim Thorpe, who was meeting with the King of Sweden, and the King told him that you are the all-time greatest Olympic athlete.
And he said...
And the King of Sweden said... that's what the King of Sweden said to him. So Jim Thorpe responded, thanks, King. And for some reason, that became a famous story. So
that's a strange
story. You don't generally say thanks, King, I think is what
well,
it was.
Well, I guess not, yeah, but...
Your Highness,
but,
maybe.
Yeah, something yeah. like
We're
that.
We're used to it around here.
Thanks, yeah. King.
We've had a King forever. And by the way, is there anyone you've ever met who's more... the American success story than Dave. Dave's the freaking producer of the Kevin and Bean Show. Let's remember where Dave started out. Let's remember how Dave started as a phone screener and an intern and an all-around lazy guy.
Yeah.
And we thought he'd be a phone screener forever.
Forever.
He was it for years, right?
Yeah.
How long?
Yeah. Yeah.
Hi,
yeah.
I just want to take this moment to point out that Dave has not come to work yet this morning. I just thought it might be an interesting side note to your story that Dave the King of Mexico has yet to show up for work.
How about
the American
that?
Dream?
Yeah, the American dream is still dreaming.
No, that is the American dream, is to wake up late and not have to come to work.
Apparently he's still sleeping and still dreaming.
Well, that's a good update.
I just thought, you know, since it was germane to your conversation, I thought I'd step in and mention, just as a side note, that Dave hasn't shown up to
Here
work.
Here I am complimenting him for his nose to the grindstone mm-hmm. and talking about how he worked so hard that he figured out yeah. a way to turn, you know, to go well beyond his abilities.
Yes.
And Chip, you're telling me that maybe I spoke too soon.
Chip just said in my headphones, he just woke up.
Oh, that's fantastic.
It's not like he's almost here.
No, he apparently heard you talking about him, and that's what snapped him out of his slumber.
Good times.
Yeah.
That's the American dream right there.
So thanks, King.
It's not my fault.
Early. It's too early for me to get up.
So we don't know exactly when he'll be rolling in, but the American dream continues.
Right there it is.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you, Ralph. Sure. Thank you very much. All right. Here's a story that I think you will love. And by the way, I was thinking about you yesterday, Kevin. Why? You're a prankster, right? And sure. You love to play pranks on people. And, you know, somebody leaves their Facebook page up in the office. You know, you're the first guy on there to post gay porn on it.
Well, I mean, I don't have a choice at that point.
Right. Why are you not more into computer hacking? That seems like that would be a perfect thing for you. Why aren't you hacking web pages? Doesn't that seem like something Kevin would love?
If he could figure out how to do it.
I don't think I would like that, Bean.
I'm surprised you haven't hired a guy yet just to hack web pages. Well, yesterday, I don't know if you heard it, but almost all, well, I won't say that, about half of the Major League Baseball Facebook pages were hacked.
Oh, no kidding.
Presumably by the same person, yes.
Sweet.
And we don't know too many details yet. They haven't tracked down how it was done or who did it. But here are some of the changes that they made to the Major League Baseball pages. And this is one of the reasons I thought of you is I thought if you were going to hack anybody, you'd hack Major League Baseball pages,
I would,
right?
Yeah.
New York Yankees on their Facebook page had this announcement. We regret to inform our fans that Derek Jeter will miss the rest of the season with sexual reassignment surgery. He promises to come back stronger than ever in 2013 as Mini Mantillas. So congratulations to Derek Jeter.
That's good news.
Chicago Cubs, they were hacked, and their Facebook update was simply F. Bill Murray. Which, of course, is hilarious because Bill Murray is one of the most famous longtime Cubs fans. They always have him throwing out the first pitch and everything like that. So F. Bill Murray is what the Cubs
That's
said.
That's funny.
San Francisco Giants hacked. Wow, that Chick-fil-A guy sure is an asshole. From the Giants page. Chicago White Sox. Everyone knows President Obama is a diehard Chi Sox fan. Unfortunately, we're voting for Romney. Hashtag Muslim president. That's not what you want on your White Sox page, right?
Usually you don't get people who hack that have a sense of humor.
I know.
Right. Usually
don't
get
good.
Those two together.
See, a couple more here. Washington Redskins, we're going back to Montreal. See ya, suckers. Of course, they were the Expos. They relocated to D.C. a couple of years ago. San Diego Padres. Just a note, though the handicapped are allowed to enjoy Padres games at Petco Park, their attendance is strongly discouraged. I can't believe
Would
I didn't write
it?
That. Yeah, no kidding. And one more. This is the Miami Marlins, formerly the Florida Marlins. Just a reminder, tonight is free Pitbull night at Marlins Park. The first 10,000 fans age 18 and under will receive free rescued fighting pitbulls, courtesy of the Dade County Animal Rescue League.
Rescued fighting.
Must have been a little bit of a surprise to fans of the Marlins on their Facebook page.
That's awesome.
Major League Baseball made the following statement late yesterday afternoon. For a brief moment today, a few MLL club Facebook accounts were hacked and inappropriate material was briefly on display from those clubs' pages on Facebook. MLB Advanced Media oversees these Facebook pages on behalf of the clubs and regrets this occurrence. We are working with Facebook, Major League Baseball security, and where appropriate legal authorities to determine the circumstances surrounding this situation. So
The Onion needs to offer this hacker a job.
No kid.
Because he's a funny dude.
Did a great job, right?
Yes.
That guy would probably work for him.
Good times.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Wow, that sounds fantastic.
Thank you. Speaking of beer mug, he was on the red carpet for Total Recall.
Uh-oh.
We've got some interviews today.
Can't wait. Dave showed up for that with you, right, Muggs?
Yeah.
He was there.
He didn't oversleep for that.
No, he was there. You know why? Hot chicks.
Oh, yeah.
All right, yeah.
So you got that. We got we got the movie beat because it's Friday. We have a phone topic today that's going to be very difficult. Should you, and if so, how do you tell your woman that she's put on a little weight?
Mm.
Do you broach that subject? Do you even try it? And if you do, how do you try it?
Wow, those are tricky waters, my friends.
I can't argue with those who say your woman already knows, because women are aware of how much they weigh within an ounce at any day, any time. So if she's gained weight, she knows it.
Here's what I found
works. Sometimes we talk
Lisa?
Ourselves into thinking that you don't know it.
Oh, I see.
Oh.
Oh, we know it. Here's how I
you
do it.
We tell our girlfriend
crap.
About it all the time.
This is how I do
all
it.
All right.
Here's some chocolate, Fat Joe.
That's my way of telling
her. Just encourage.
Yeah. We also have John Sherva, who is the LA Times Deputy Bureau Chief, who is in London to talk about the Olympics. Give us an update. As the U.S. has now passed China.
How about that?
USA! USA! USA!
And stuff.
We also have a little somebody by the name of Kate Beckinsale.
That's what I'm talking about.
On the program today. She's in a movie.
You gonna go see that movie? That Total Recall?
Total Recall. I'm totally gonna go see that movie.
Totally go see Total
Recall.
Totally.
I saw the first one and it had Arnold in it.
That was a great movie.
It was a great movie in spite of Arnold. Mm-hmm. Even he couldn't ruin it. And this looks even better. It's my kind of movie. So we got Kate Beckinsale on today's show and we're gonna try and have Bean not ruin it. All right.
How dare you? I was very well behaved for Jessica Biel, by the way.
We will take a break and we will come back with the showbiz beat.
If Beer Mug could do it, anybody should be able to do it, right?
Do what?
Getting to work on time?
Come on.
If I could do it this morning, anybody should be able to do it.
Beer Mug's the baseline of low standards. Come on.
What happened to you, Ralph?
I was at the campaign premiere last
the movie.
Night.
Oh,
yeah.
Fun.
Went to the premiere and then the after party.
Was it great?
Wow. And had about four too many vodka martinis. And so I woke up this morning on the rough side of things.
Oh, no.
And yet.
Yet here you are.
Here I am.
Give him the breathalyzer.
Oh, I would fail. I would fail if you gave me one right now.
Do you need to pull that trash can a little closer?
No, okay. I think I'm empty.
All right.
Yeah.
Nobody smoked near Ralph's breath today, though. That's advice. Can't try.
Looks like Godzilla.
Well, we'll hear about your opinion of the campaign in the movie beat. It's going to be a rare week where you've seen one of the films you're going to be reviewing, which is weird.
Does it open this weekend?
I thought it did.
I think it's next weekend. Usually the premieres are the week before the week opens.
That's right. Yeah. All right. Well, we do have the movie beat for Total Recall and other films coming up later this 45 minutes or so from now here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. What's going on?
By the way, Will says hi to everybody.
Oh, nice.
He's the best.
He can't come in because he's going to Australia.
He is the best.
He leaves for Australia this week. So
for press? Or just
I think for press. So but he sends his regards and wanted everybody to know he says hi.
Australia!
He's going with Oprah.
Yeah. Wow, who knew?
Speaking of Oprah, she's got her own network, ironically, known as OWN. Mm-hmm. And they announced yesterday they are going to give a reality show to LaToya Jackson, everybody. LaToya Jackson getting her own reality show.
Oh, wait a minute now. I would watch that.
Life with LaToya will be on the cable network next year.
She might be the craziest one of the whole family.
She's crazy.
She was being described as a candid look at the now 59-year-old singer. You know, she was 59.
She looks great for 59.
Well, she's a mannequin. I don't think there's anything natural Nothing left moves. On that body, so it would make sense.
I think I would watch that. She's crazy. I mean,
what does she do?
I think
she's legitimately crazy.
It says she deals with her family, friends, and business associates. It means she must have some kind of business.
Business? Come on.
I feel like somebody like her who's born into that family probably feels like they're not in any way obligated to get a real job. They feel like being in the Jackson family should be enough.
Oh, great. Great job being a Jackson.
Way. Yeah. Her full-time job is trying to get Michael's money.
It looks like TJ Jackson.
Oh, that's a cousin, right?
He is the son of Tito.
Yeah.
Son of Tito.
Son of Tito. Sounds like a horror movie.
That's an awesome band name, too.
He is going to get at least part custody of Michael's kids from Catherine, the mom, because a stretch went for 10 days, apparently, this according to TJ, where she had no contact with those three young kids at all.
That's when she was in the spa.
Wasn't she
place
kidnapped?
She's in Arizona with Reeby.
Yeah. And he stepped in and said, look, someone's got to actually talk to these kids once in a while.
Maybe it should be me.
10 days went by where she had no contact with the children she's supposedly raising. So he wants to step in. And now Catherine is fighting back, saying she wants at least partial
And the
custody,
judge is buying the story from TJ, right?
Yeah.
The judge is saying, yeah, I agree.
So looks like Uncle TJ, or cousin TJ, may actually be the main provider of custody for those kids.
But the emotion, too much for Tito.
Yeah. Too much for son of Tito, too, apparently.
Son of Tito is awesome.
So there's your Jackson update. Now let's take a look at what Arnold Schwarzenegger's up to. He is about to become a professor at USC.
Okay. Seriously.
Schwarzenegger has co-founded a think tank at SC.
Seriously, though.
He has put up $20 million in personal and fundraising cash to kick off the think tank, which will be launched in September.
No! No!
At USC. It is called the USC Schwarzenegger Institute for State and Global Policy.
Are you kidding
me? And Arnold will join the ranks of the university as a professor.
Is this based on the fabulous things he did for California?
I was thinking, what's first on the syllabus? How to run a state into the ground?
Well, first you have to start being a bad actor.
I guess
so. And then you run a state into a ground.
First lecture from Professor Schwarzenegger will be in December, they say. And so, you know.
That's I thought he'd awesome. Be a language professor.
He should be. He should teach English.
Ah! Ah! Yeah, repeat that to me.
Really? The Institute for State and Global Policy? Arnold. Arnold, you may have finally...
He's gone right over the edge, hasn't he?
Like, we know that you were actually the governor of a state.
Right.
You ran a large economy.
But that was a joke, even.
It was a joke. It was all a joke.
And not a success by any real measure.
No.
Yeah.
Certainly not think tank worthy.
No.
It'd be like me having a think tank.
Oh, I would so go to the Kevin Ryder Institute.
Of thinking.
Of tanking. Public speaking and...
I get tanked. I can do that part.
You can do the tank part. Mm-hmm. You're Frank the Tank.
Yeah.
LAPD's finest surrounded Miley Cyrus's home last Wednesday night.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Cops showed up and surrounded the place because there was a kidnapping in progress.
At her house? Did they call for help?
Yeah, someone did. Right. Sergeant Jim Parker of the LAPD says the police force was a victim of something that's now being called swatting.
Swatting?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, there was planking and owling and batmanning.
Are you serious?
Now there's swatting. Yes, yes. Which is a prank that tricks responders to deploy. So you call up the police and say, there's a kidnapping in progress at Miley Cyrus's house. Please help. We need help. And then they show up with all their forces, and then someone's giggling in the bushes someplace.
And there's nothing going
on. There's nothing going on. Wow. Miley is in Philadelphia with her fiancé. He is currently filming the movie Paranoia there, and she's by his side. So she's not even home. No, there's nobody there in the house.
Meanwhile, SWAT's needed someplace else.
Exactly.
Wow.
And, the swatting's going on.
So wow.
They were not too pleased. I was excited for a moment. I thought maybe they would just start firing some rounds into Miley's house just to be safe. Maybe hit her in the teeth. Well, you hit whatever the biggest target is, you know.
Some preemptive shots.
Yeah. Interestingly enough, Universal Pictures says that there will be a sequel to Snow White and the Huntsman. This movie, really? Of course, now more famous for the fact that Kristen Stewart hooked up with her director of that film than probably the film itself. But they have announced that they're pressing ahead with plans. Now, Kristen has already signed up.
Oh, she's
got a contract, I think, for three of these films. I think sometimes when they do a film like that, they will automatically sign you up for the sequel.
But can't they give her the axe if they want?
I suppose they could, but then they'd be in breach of contract. So she probably has a player pay deal, which is, if she doesn't work, she still gets the salary, and I'm sure they don't want to cough that up.
Same director?
Well, here's
They'd
the thing.
They'd much rather switch the director out. Yeah.
Sanders does not have a contract for additional films. And according to RadarOnline.com, his wife, Liberty, has thrown down the gauntlet and forbid him for directing a sequel to Snow White and the Huntsman if he wants to save their marriage.
Well, I should think so.
If they want this to succeed and if they want press, they hire on the old director.
That's what I'm saying.
Just
everybody would be
wait for the fireworks.
They make him the co-star of the film. I'd make him the star of the
romantic scenes.
Exactly. Show us what we want to see. It's those two just going at it. All right, let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Singer Tony Bennett is 86 years old today.
Wow.
Still out there doing it.
He's been 86 since I was a kid.
Yeah.
Still has more energy than me.
Yes. Actor Martin Sheen turned 72 years old. Here they just added Martin Sheen to the cast of Anger Management, the Charlie Sheen sitcom.
No,
I did not. That's a drop off from the West Wing, isn't it?
Martin will be playing his father, apparently, on that show. Martha Stewart turned 71 years old today. Movie director John Landis is 62. John C. McGinley, one of our favorite actors around here from Scrubs, 53 years old. James Hetfield of Metallica celebrates his 49th.
It's just Talica.
I'm sorry. Of Talica.
Uh-huh.
Is 49 years old. Stephen Carpenter, guitarist for Deftones, is 42 years old. Spinderella of Salt and Pepper celebrates her 41st birthday. Evangeline Lilly of Lost fame is 33 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Bean is obsessed with the dictionary.
I love the dictionary.
And he's the only person... I mean, really, have you ever heard...
I love
the dictionary.
I've
used it. It's helpful.
Right.
I don't love it.
Have you ever heard in your life anyone say the words, I love the dictionary?
I have not.
There are a lot of people like
dictionaries,
so
most of the time, I'm sure. So most of the time when Bean starts a sentence with, hey, I was following news about the dictionary, I tune right out.
Yes.
But in this particular case, he was talking about modern words, new words that have been added to the dictionary.
And this is pretty interesting, right? This is the Oxford Dictionary Online. Lisa May, you need to really listen up because of your little Words with Friends games that you play.
Oh.
For instance, you could now put OMG on Words with Friends, I assume, because it's now in the dictionary as a word. OMG is now an official word used to express surprise, excitement, or disbelief. Which, by the way, they say goes back to 1917.
It's funny because OMG isn't really a word at all. No one says OMG.
Right. Exactly.
But it's in the dictionary, I guess.
Popo, now a word, meaning the police. Popo. You guys have been making fun of me for saying it for years.
Because you can't pull it off. That's why.
Why can't I pull it off?
I don't know, but you can't.
They should have pictures of people who can and cannot.
There are certain people who can pull off certain words. Like if you're going to try and say cray cray, none of us can do that. Okay?
This is going to be very upsetting to some people. Chillax is now in the dictionary.
Oh, no. Come on.
I always say that to be funny.
Douche word shouldn't be in there.
Bromance is in the dictionary now as an actual word. So the list goes on and on and on. We asked producer Dave to light us up somebody to talk to about the story. And, of course, he was still asleep. So then assistant producer Chip, she stepped in and found somebody. Who do we have? Somebody from the dictionary itself, from the Oxford Online Dictionary? Is that right?
I believe we do, yes.
That's correct. Hello.
Hi, sir.
Hello, sir.
Hi.
What's your name?
Professor Grant Anders.
Professor Anders. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, before we get started, the deal is that you are the Oxford Dictionary Online. I mean, you realize that the English language is a living, breathing thing, and it's not a closed category. And as things become more popular with usage, you try to reflect that on your site.
Well, that's partially true. I'd like to correct that misconception.
Certainly.
The English language is not, in fact, a living, breathing thing. It is more or less a collection of words.
Okay. All right. Fair enough,
because,
sir.
Because, you know, here at Oxford Dictionary, we like to be exact with our use of words. And if you say the language is a living and breathing thing, it might give people the impression that it is somehow a living and breathing thing.
Professor, I accept
would
that.
You say that you love the dictionary?
I don't, no.
Okay, all right.
No, I spend too much goddamn time with the dictionary.
Okay,
and like a lot of things or people you work with, they just really get on your ass after a while. In fact, there is a new word in the dictionary, however, for people who love the dictionary.
Is that right?
Yeah, they're called dictionaries.
Oh, come on, look.
And it sounds like Bean's a big dictionary.
That's
how
correct.
Dare you?
That is true.
Well, what are some of the words you'd like to highlight for our listeners today, Professor Anders?
Well, you hit some of the big ones on the list. Crunk is in, finally. Crunk.
Crunk, sure. Yeah.
Frankenfood, a genetically modified food, is known as a frankenfood.
Okay. Oh, how about that? Okay.
Guyliner.
Oh, that's funny.
Really?
That made it into the dictionary?
Yeah, eyeliner that's made by, worn by men.
Sure.
Guyliner. Mm-hmm. Or gayliner, whatever you want to use.
I think guyliner is preferred.
Omar's going to be so happy.
Chick-fil-A liner is also known as that. La La Land. You people there in Los Angeles would appreciate that. La La Land.
Really?
Is now an accepted term for the fanciful state or dream world of Los Angeles. La La Land.
Huh.
Yeah.
Odd.
Mankini. The mankini. The one-piece bathing garment for men with a tee back, the mankini. That's the freaking dictionary.
Yeah. That must have been after the Borat movie. People said, oh, yeah, that's a mankini.
Mini-me.
What?
Mini-me is now an actual noun for a person closely resembling a smaller or younger version of another person. The mini-me.
Interesting.
That's weird.
Muffin top.
Mm, yeah.
Oh, that made it in the dictionary.
You know, fat chicks have that fat that comes over the top of their jeans.
Oh, we know.
Sure.
Yeah. That's in the dictionary now.
A muffin top.
So all you fat broads out there, we actually have a word for you now. Noob.
What's a noob?
What's noob?
Yeah, you're familiar with like a newbie or someone who's new?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's been shortened to noob, a person who is inexperienced in a particular sphere or activity, the noob.
Okay.
The new person.
All right. Wow. Noob.
Noob. Sexting made it in.
Sexting, sure.
Yeah. As you can imagine.
That's a thing.
Truthiness.
No.
Oh, how about that?
Stephen Colbert must be happy. Truthiness is finally an actual word. Whovian. A fan of the Doctor Who show. A Whovian. That's an actual word now.
That's true?
Yeah. Huh. They're all real. We just added some late words to the list. Didn't make it to the press release, so I just wanted to give you guys an update. These are words like dictionary, a fan of the dictionary. Also, Bieberned.
Bieberned,
yes. If you've ever heard any of Justin Bieber's music, you're now considered to be Bieberned.
You've been officially Bieberned.
You'll never get over that.
Right. I don't know why we need a word for that, but
can't
okay.
Can't unhear it.
The Greygasm?
The Greygasm?
Yeah, this is an orgasm had by a woman when her husband or boyfriend's not around and she's reading that 50 Shades of Grey. The Greygasm.
Okay.
Creeping.
creeping.
No, creep bean.
Oh, creep bean.
Oh, I don't like the sound
of
that.
Are you saying creep bean?
Creep bean, yes. That is something so creepy, even creepy people think it's creepy.
Wow.
Something is creep bean.
Creep bean.
Creep bean, yes.
Okay, that makes sense.
And lastly, a ridurism. The ridurism is when your brain gets a clot and you can no longer speak.
Well, I don't understand where that came from.
It says you're named after the legendary Kevin Ryder, the ridurism. You have some sort of blockage in your brain and you end up, things say not go good. Why do now say good? Extras?
Long time ago. Actress Kate Beckinsale from the movie Total Recall later on today's show. Also, we've got an Olympic update for you and that grand prize drawing for the trip to New Orleans on the way also for the Voodoo Experience. Ralph Garman is here. It is Friday. That means it must be the Movie Beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Big, big, big batch of movies opening up this weekend. Total Recall, of course, being the biggest of all of them. But there's a lot of little films, something for everybody this weekend, including a very interesting documentary you may want to check out called You've Been Trumped. This is from director Anthony Baxter, who did a documentary about a modern-day David and Goliath story. Cool little story about a group of Scottish homeowners who took on Donald Trump as he tried to buy up one of Scotland's last wilderness areas to build a golf resort.
He's trying to pave over everything.
He really is. He wants to turn the whole world into a parking lot with his name on it. Yeah. And they stood up to Trump. Fascinating story. And I've been looking forward to seeing this since I heard about it. Here's some clips from the trailer of You've Been Trumped.
Donald Trump has arrived in Scotland to talk about his plans for what he claims will be the world's greatest golf course.
And it's going to be done environmentally perfect.
It's my home. I've stayed here for 43 years now. And he won't put me out of it.
His property is slum-like. It's disgusting. He's got stuff thrown all over the place. He lives like a pig.
They built the road on top of my spring, and I haven't had water for a week.
The people love what we're doing.
Who has a mirror? My hair okay?
Wow. Are there subtitles, Ralph?
Literally the subtitles, but you love to go and never bet and then say never go.
By the way, I don't know anything about business. I'm no Donald Trump. But is the way to talk a man into agreeing to sell you his property to say that it's a dump and he lives like a pig? Is that the way you want to grease a guy up?
Just straight insult?
Donald doesn't really mince words.
That's funny.
He's not tactful. Also opening up this weekend, Celeste and Jesse Forever, the story of a divorcing couple trying to maintain their friendship while they both pursue other people. Rashida Jones from The Office, she stars in this film, along with Andy Samberg, Elijah Wood, and Emma Roberts.
Wow.
Here's a scene where Rashida Jones is telling her girlfriend why she is no longer with Jesse.
What? I just need to say one thing, and then I'm not going to say another word about it. I'm really sorry I waked on you guys at dinner the other night, but I think it's stupid you're not together. I do. You guys are best friends. That's the hard part. Nothing else matters.
Seth, I love Jesse dearly, but he doesn't have a checking account or dress shoes. The father of my children will have a car. You know, Jesse will always be my best friend.
Yeah. Girls like that kind of junk.
Yeah,
like
it's
cars,
weird.
Shoes and cars and jobs.
Blech. Blech. A lot of demands.
360 opens up in limited release this weekend, a dramatic thriller that weaves a story of an array of people from different social backgrounds through their intersecting relationships. Superstar cast, Rachel Weisz, Jude Law, Anthony Hopkins, and Ben Foster all star in 360. If you haven't seen the trailer, here are some clips.
We married very young, and now we've grown up, become different people.
I was traveling on my way here with a young girl from Brazil. She said, "You only live once. How many chances do we get?" Been in London long?
Mostly waiting at home while my boyfriend slept with other women.
Hi.
I miss you.
He knows nothing from my past. He thinks I'm a good, innocent girl.
Yeah, she's not.
Sounds like an upper.
Baby Makers. Comedy about a guy who is failing to get his wife pregnant, so he recruits his pals to break into a sperm bank. It's a bank heist movie, but it's about a sperm bank, basically, instead of a money bank.
Why don't they just buy... Can't you just buy sperm?
I don't know the particulars of the story, but I don't think you can ask for your own sperm back. I think
that's what it is.
Yeah, they're breaking in to steal his deposit that he left at a sperm bank years ago. He's going to get his sperm back because they're no longer swimming anymore in the wild.
I got you.
So he's going to get his good sperm back from the bank. He's going to break in and steal his own sperm.
Has to be his.
Back.
All right.
Paul Schneider stars in this film. Olivia Munn is also in the movie. Kevin Heffernan and Wood Harris. Here are some clips from the trailers of Baby Makers.
I'm shooting good stuff, and I know this for a fact. When I decided to ask Audrey to marry me, I couldn't afford a decent ring, so I donated sperm.
Now, they wouldn't very well pay me good money for bad sperm.
You know, why not just go down there and see if they have any for us to use?
Yeah, what do you know? We have one batch left.
Yeah!
Whoops, I'm sorry. Looks like we already sold it. Whatever it is they're paying you, I'll give you double right now. This isn't eBay, sir. We don't get into bidding wars over sperm.
Diary of a Wimpy Kid, based on the popular kids' book series. Dog Days is the name of this addition to the franchise. The original cast is back. Zachary Gordon, Devin Bostick, and Steve Zahn, one of my favorite actors, who deserves better than to be in a kid's movie, in my opinion. Diary of a Wimpy Kid. What's going to happen with the kids? It's summer. What are they going to do? Well, two of them are going to freak out about the possibility of getting their heads chopped off on a ride in an amusement park.
My brother knows a guy whose second cousin's half-brother went on this ride and got decapitated.
No way.
Way.
It's true. I was working the ride that day. The car came down, and his head wasn't in it.
Greg, we don't make it. Something I have to tell you. One time, I went to the bathroom, and I didn't wash my hands.
One time, I used your toothbrush to get dog poop off my shoe.
Wait, what?
Kids love these movies.
Do they?
That's it. Just
it's
kids.
A hugely popular book series as well, right?
Yes, and a huge hit in the movies as well. So if you got kids,
what age, like 5 to 10?
You may be going, tweens.
Tweens? Oh,
yeah,
tweens.
10, okay. 10, 10, 8, 9 to 12, I guess, somewhere in there. And lastly, Total Recall. Director Len Wiseman takes on the daunting task of remaking a classic. This really is a classic science fiction film. Even Schwarzenegger couldn't.
He couldn't ruin it.
Couldn't ruin this film. Sharon Stone, remember, played his deadly wife, posing as his wife.
What a step up this is.
Kate Beckinsale plays Colin Farrell's wife in
this
particular
film. That's what I'm talking about.
And she is just as bad, I think maybe worse than Sharon Stone was. Doug Quaid is the name of the factory worker Colin plays, who begins to suspect that he may be a spy after all, once visiting a company that provides its clients with fake implanted memories. They spark in him some real memories, and it turns out he's actually been a spy all along. And things go wrong. He finds himself on the run. Bryan Cranston also stars in this film. Jessica Biel, as I mentioned, Kate Beckinsale and Colin Farrell. I feel like I've seen this movie just because I've done two panels for this movie at Comic-Con now the past 2 years. We did one this year, and we did one last year when they were just starting to film it.
You did it a year ago. For this same movie?
Yes.
Wow, that's weird.
I've done two of them for Total Recall, and I've seen a ton of footage, and I've talked to the cast and Len Wiseman extensively about this film, so I feel like I know a lot about this film without ever having seen it, and I think you are going to love this
film. I can't wait.
All the footage that I've seen just looks remarkable, and Colin Farrell is back in a big-budget film, first time in a long time for him. Here's some clips from the trailer of Total Recall.
What are you doing?
My job.
Our marriage.
What can I say? I give good wife.
Whatever you think, you remember. It's not real.
Get in. I've been looking for you everywhere.
This is my wife.
You're married?
I think it's safe to say we're separated.
I want him alive.
Tell me what's going on.
I'm just trying to recover what's in your head.
It's like my everyday life.
You're trying to recover what's
just
in your
trying
head.
To figure out,
try to figure out
what's real,
who
what's
you're
not.
Married to and why she's trying to kill you.
Who am I? Where do I live?
What is my job? What did I used to be?
What's how does food get in my mouth?
Oh, poor Kevin. Must be hell to live in Total Recall.
I can't wait.
Colin Farrell, Kate Beckinsale, Jessica Biel as the woman who rescues him and helps him recover his memories. Bryan Cranston as the evil corporate overlord who is responsible for what happened to Colin. This looks great. I cannot wait to see Total Recall this weekend. That's my pick. I'm Ralph Garman.
We're going to talk to Kate Beckinsale later on today. Beer Mug already spoke with her on the red carpet of Total Recall, and we're going to hear those interviews coming up in about an hour or so right here on the Kevin Bean Show, too. First, there are many ways you can get in contact with us here on the show. We've got the Kevin Bean Facebook page, of course. You can always get in contact with us, leaving a comment at kevinbean.com or krock.com. You can follow us on Twitter at Kevin Bean, or just the old-fashioned way you can email us if you want. We get a lot of great response from you on a lot of topics that we have on the show. For instance, we were talking about homeless people. Kevin, you brought in your police officer acquaintance who was talking about the crazy amounts of money that surprised us all that some of these homeless people are making out on the street, right?
In an hour to two, they make $200 to $300, he said.
That's what he said, yeah.
And it really kind of shook us all up in terms of, you know, our thoughts on what we should do when we see that homeless person. Are we being scammed? So we got a couple of emails on that topic. Hey, Kevin and Bean, a few years ago, some friends and I were having dinner in Old Town Pasadena. We ordered way too much food. At the end of the night, we had about 5 styrofoam take-home boxes full of food. We walked out of a restaurant. A man walked up to my friend, which, by the way, I think he specifically targeted her because you could tell she was a little tipsy from dinner, and he asked if she had any spare change. The guy looked down on his luck. My friend was feeling around in her pockets, and the roommate said, hey, how about this leftover food instead? To which my friend reacted, oh, yeah, we have tons of food. Why don't you take these? The homeless guy then walked up to my friend's roommate, put his face in her face, and yelled, next time, why don't you mind your own effing business? And proceeded to turn and walk away without the food. We all looked at each other, baffled at his anger. We kept our eyes on him and watched as he unlocked the door to his very nice-looking Saab and drove off.
No.
Ever since this experience, I no longer give money to homeless people. I only offer to buy them food instead. Just thought I'd share. You guys are awesome. So somebody suggested, hey, don't give the guy your spare change. Give him all this delicious, fresh food instead. And he was just furious by that.
Wow.
Trevor writes in, dear Kevin and Bean, one of my dad's favorite things to do is to keep a 40-ounce beer bottle in the back of his car, so when he sees these guys begging on the street corner, he cuts right to the chase and gives them what he knows they want. You've never seen anyone more happy than a homeless guy being gifted a 40. Love the show, Trevor. I think that would do the trick, right?
Sure.
Dear Kevin and Bean, this is in reference to the story we did a couple of days ago about that woman who had got a bite from her dog or some sort of saliva on her skin that turned into a disease, and she ended up losing her hands and her feet. It was in a medically induced coma. Remember that story? Lindsay writes in, first off, let me start by saying I did not lose my hands and feet. I got off lucky compared to the woman you were talking about, Hannah. I'm a longtime listener of the podcast. I don't get up early enough to listen live, so I listen the next day while I'm at work. Anyway, 5 years ago when I was in college, my kitten would play with me by biting and scratching. No big deal. That's how kittens play, right? Well, a few weeks later, I noticed that one by one, all of the lymph nodes in my body started swelling up.
Wow.
Not just a little. They turned into giant circular shapes, egg size, popping out of my skin.
See, cats suck.
Jesus.
I developed a high fever, vomiting, fatigue, weight loss, headaches. I was really sick. I was in and out of doctor's office. I went to multiple specialists, hospitals. I took every drug known to man. Nothing was working. They thought I had cancer or some major STD, but they tested and it wasn't either of those. None of the doctors knew what was happening or why I was so sick. This went on for about a month until the final doctor asked in passing if I had a kitten. Bingo. It was the cat that had given me something called cat scratch disease. I was heartbroken. I had to give up the cat, but the moral of the story is if you play with your puppies or kittens, wash your cuts immediately afterwards. By the way, here's
the
question.
The moral of the story is cats suck.
Hey, Hannah's story was a dog that she lost her limbs to.
Wow.
If the cat has the thing in the saliva, if you give the cat to another family, aren't you kind of inviting the same thing? I mean, is it something that the cat would just continue to give to other people?
Yes.
I don't know. It seems like all you would have to do is wash and you'd be okay.
Maybe so.
Really? But you have to wash every time?
Well, if they scratch you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, get rid of the cat.
But
Kitty
who
Lake.
Knew?
But he's sick.
Kitty Lake.
Who knew when we did that story the other day that this was a thing that you could happen from just playing with your pets, though? This is kind of freaking me out a little bit.
Yeah. That is weird.
Dear Kevin and Bean, hey, I've been listening to K-Rock for a long time. Isn't the commercial for 50 Cent's new energy drink sort of racist? It basically says if you feel like a white dude with no game, you should drink it. How would it fly if Shaun White were selling an energy drink and he said, if you're a deadbeat black guy, you should drink this? Why does racism only apply to those who are not white? On behalf of white people everywhere, I'm calling racism. Feel free to let the world know that this white guy says, F you, 50 Cent, Scott. 50 Cent will be here in our studio in a few days, by the way. You can call in and talk to him yourself if you want, but do remember, dude has a gun. Here's a response to the feature that we debuted earlier this week called Lisa May Pet Judge, where she took calls from listeners. Edwin writes in, what a bittersweet day. On one hand, I can't wait for the inevitable new show on Animal Planet, Lisa May Pet Judge. I hope they design a judge robe with a deep V-neck and a miniskirt. Officer Gruden can be the bailiff. Boner can sit at his own little judge stand during the trial. On the other hand, this means that Lisa May will be following Psycho Mike, Jimmy Kimmel, Adam Carolla, and more as Kevin and Bean family members who go on to greater things. Good luck, Lisa. I'll miss your traffic reports.
Oh, that's so sweet. Boner with
his own
little place.
It didn't go that well.
Yeah, it didn't.
And here's one more. Dear Kevin and Bean, I've been watching quite a bit of the Olympic Games coverage in NBC, swimming and gymnastics mostly. I've seen at least 4 swimmers on the U.S. team with Olympic symbols, you know, the Olympic rings tattooed on them.
Right.
This is a douche move, don't you think? I know these athletes have been training for years, if not their whole lives, to compete, but I've never seen an NFL or an NBA player with tattoos of the names of their league. These athletes have also been getting ready all their lives to go into these professional leagues.
You can't
they're not tell of the NBA because they have terrible tattoos.
They do seem like they only get the cheapest tattoos possible, like from a guy in a van, right?
Yeah.
They've been getting ready all their lives to go in these professional leagues, yet they're not walking around with tattoos of the NBA or NFL on them. Your longtime couch potato listener, Moises. What do you guys think? Do you think it's a douche move to have the Olympic rings on you, or does that not bother you? It doesn't bother me at all.
It doesn't bother me, but I do find... Well, I mean, they always have that experience, so even when they get older, they'll go, yeah, it was a great time.
I was in the Olympics. Yeah, exactly.
I came in last.
I hadn't even thought about
Why
that.
Why is this song playing?
Thank you for writing in honor of the Olympics in London. We got a little something special for you.
London, Olympic Games, London, Olympic Games, London.
Come on.
People with bad teeth are going to happen. Seriously, pick up a toothbrush. London, Olympic Games, outside my window. Tree. I wish that people could see that the British shouldn't drink that much tea, and it's London Olympic Games outside my window pane.
A chip chip cheerio. Oh, the London Olympic Games with their double-decker buses, and they're driving on the wrong side of the street. Oh, we're London, and we have a big clock, and we call it Big Ben, and we have a London Bridge, and it's falling down. Oh, we have a queen and the royal family and the stupid guards with the stupid hats. Oh, would you like a spot of tea? No, I wouldn't, because I don't want my teeth all jacked up like yours. Chip chip cheerio.
London Olympic Games outside my window. London Olympic Games behind the tree.
Ah, that felt good. Ralph Scott, the show must be coming up next during the Kevin Beach.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Handed it to the catcher and then ran the bases. Went all the way to first, second, third, fourth, and then slid at home.
Oh. That was A Moment with Kevin.
Touched all five bases?
Yes.
Wow. Impressive.
It's harder than just doing the fourth.
Is that Olympic baseball? They changed the rules or something? Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Friday. Finally a Friday, Kevin to Beach. Those beer mug red carpet interviews from Total Recall are coming up next.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
That's all I care about. I want to thank listener Jack who sent me the link to AspergersTestSite.com.
Fantastic.
I was just in the other room. This has nothing to do with showbiz, but I was in the other room reading it. And I said, they should just call it Bean.com. Why don't they just call it Bean.com?
Let's just write this one in for Monday as well.
You want me to read you a couple? Read you a couple of the questions?
If you want, but we'll do the whole thing on Monday.
Just answer yes or no to the following questions.
Please don't do this again.
I prefer to do things the same way over and over again.
I have a system. Yes, what of it?
I often notice small sounds when others do not. I usually notice car number plates or similar strings of information. Guys, other people frequently tell me that what I've said is impolite, even though I think it's polite.
I have aced these quizzes for years.
Quiz.
Wow.
Believe me, I know that I have a. I know that I will score a 90 on the test, Ralph. I always do.
No,
it doesn't prove anything.
No, you'll score a 98.
It doesn't prove anything.
That's what it does exactly.
If they take you to the hospital and they biopsy the mole on your arm and they say it's cancer, does that prove it's cancer?
That doesn't prove it's cancer.
It's just a mole. No, it's a melanoma. That's their opinion.
Asperger's is a condition on the autistic spectrum which makes it difficult for a person to make connections with other people.
Yeah.
It's crazy when you read this.
We'll do the whole thing on Monday. That'll be fun.
It does look like you wrote it.
I don't know how to tell if someone listening to me is getting bored or not.
It's unbelievable. It is like somebody studied Bean first.
Right.
And then wrote down a quiz.
Let's build a disease around this guy.
I don't have it, by the way.
Well, it's funny. Dr. Drew says you do. Back to the showbiz.
I mentioned yesterday that Courtney Stodden was teasing us with the idea that she was going to have her own reality show.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Courtney Stodden, for those of you who don't remember, is the 17-year-old who, a year ago, when she was 16, married a 51-year-old actor, Doug Hutchinson, from Lost and The Green Mile. And she was very excited, tweeting yesterday, oh, I'm going to be a TV show. Hey, stay tuned, Stoddenistas. You will find out about my reality show. Well, TMZ has uncovered the truth. Apparently, it's not Courtney's reality show.
What is it?
She'll be sharing it with some other people.
What?
In fact, it'll be four other couples because the show is VH1's Couples Therapy.
Oh.
Apparently.
I've not seen that.
The couple has acknowledged there are some obvious problems in their relationship because of their age difference.
Really?
Yes.
17 and 51?
Who could have seen that coming? You mean it isn't a match made in heaven for a 16-year-old to marry a 51-year-old man? That is
so
imperfection? Courtney and Doug and four other couples will go through intense counseling during the course of the show, which began taping a few days ago, according to TMZ. So that's her big reality show. She's going to be diagnosed on a pseudo-psychological show called Couples Therapy on
VH1. She made it sound like the cameras are just going to follow her and her interesting life.
It's Courtney. Right. Like, that's going to be the show, but it's not. It's a bunch of other people who are equally as effed up as you, Courtney, and that's what your show's going to be.
I'm surprised, based on seeing them on TV in the past, like on Dr. Drew's show, that they're willing to admit there are any kind of cracks in the relationship, because they're the couple who are always like, everything's perfect, and it was destiny, and we're meant to be together, and blah, 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 blah.
But no one was dangling a TV show in front of them at that time.
Yeah.
Look, they would say they were 100 pounds overweight if they get on The Biggest Loser, whatever it would take. They're willing to admit to anything to get them on television. Looks like rumors about Katy Perry and John Mayer are true. Us Weekly magazine caught photos of the two at dinner at the Chateau Marmont. They were holding hands across the table, looking very romantic. So
is that a celebrity-only hotel?
Yeah.
Everything that goes on.
It is celebrity heavy. You ever been there? They do a great brunch, by the way. If you ever want to go for a nice brunch.
I don't think I'm allowed. I'm not a celebrity.
You would absolutely be allowed. You go there and you have brunch in their outdoor patio area there. It's just gorgeous. And you look around and you're like, I don't belong here because everybody out, every other table is famous.
Well, that's weird.
But they let regular people in too. So just check it out sometime. It's fun. Nope. American Idol still looking for another judge or two.
Courtney Stunn.
Courtney Stunn would be great. Oh, I would love to see her on that
show. That'd be the best.
They're doing something which I find disgusting, repugnant, and unacceptable to me personally. But for them, it makes a lot of sense, and I can see why they're doing it. Trying to get themselves a big-time country star to be one of the judges.
Yeah.
Sure.
Which makes sense.
Hey, right on. Blake Shelton is a superstar based on The Voice.
Yeah.
They love him over
and
there.
They always have some hayseed on American Idol who's out there singing, he won't be cheating again after I smash his hubcaps in, or whatever that effing song is.
That's it.
There's always somebody there. So apparently they talked to Toby Keith.
Oh, my God. He'd be terrible.
Wouldn't it be great to have Red Solo Cup night on American Idol where they all have to sing Red Solo Cup? Wouldn't that be awesome?
I didn't realize that was him.
Hey, Toby Keith will stick his American boot up your foreigner ass.
He's an idiot. You know, you need a guy like a Kenny Chesney or a Brad Paisley or somebody like that who's a smart, articulate guy who has wide appeal. That's what you need.
Red Solo Cup.
You need this guy.
I fill you up. Let's have a party.
That's the guy you need, right?
Let's have a party.
That would be fantastic.
Apparently, Toby turned him down. But you'll be happy to know, Bean, that Brad Paisley's camp has been meeting with American Idol producers. And looks
like a good choice.
They're trying to iron out a deal where he will be one of the judges on the show. So,
okay.
There you go. And congratulations to Stephen Colbert. He has announced his big rock festival, his rock concert that he's put together. Aboard the Intrepid Sea, Air, and Space Museum in New York City. August 10th, it's happening.
Okay.
It's called Steve Fest Kolbcella 2012 Rock August Fest. It's got the longest name of any concert I've ever heard.
So funny.
Steph Fest Kolbcella 2012 Rock August Fest. Happens on August 10th. So far, the lineup includes Flaming Lips, Santa Gold, Fun, and Grandmaster Flash. It's an interesting list of artists. You'll be able to see those performances on the Colbert Report during the week of August 13th. If you don't,
hi, this is David Hasselhoff. Listen, I wanted to figure out how to get tickets if I get down there.
I don't think you can, Dave. I think it's invitation only, as far as you know. Today's celebrity birthdays: Tony Bennett, legendary singer, 86 years old today. Martin Sheen is 72. Martha Stewart is 71. John Landis, the movie director. I wish he'd direct more. I don't know the last thing he directed. But he's
we'll put in that word.
62 years old. But the man gave us the Blues Brothers.
I hear you.
Animal House.
He's done his time, man.
American Werewolf in London. Thriller video. Talented guy. John C. McGinley, 53 years old today. James Hetfield of Metallica is 49 years old. Stephen Carpenter of Deftones, 42 years old. Spinderella from Salt and Pepper is 41. Evangeline Lilly from Lost celebrates her 33rd birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Congratulations. Grand prize drawing. Michael Harvey of Glendale. Michael Harvey of Glendale. Already got tickets for Jack White at the Shrine. Need the drum roll again. I'm not done. And is the grand prize winner to see Jack White at the Voodoo Festival in New Orleans.
Nice.
So congratulations to Michael Harvey from Glendale. Let's talk about Total Recall. Last night was the world premiere, and a certain homeless-looking man was out in front with a microphone.
Hey. Modest Yahoo was there?
Yeah, Modest Yahoo was there.
Beer Mug, who's now known as Modest Yahoo, was at the red carpet for Total Recall. And he was good, as usual. The first person that he interviewed is Bokeem Woodbine.
Woodbine, yeah.
Oh, he or she is
Woodbine.
Good.
Bokeem Woodbine.
Does anyone recognize that name?
Nope.
Okay, I don't either. Know. B, no?
Nope, not at
Mug's
all.
Very happy to talk to him. And wanted to talk to him first before he did the interview. He wanted to talk to him off the air so that he could tell him some stuff.
Sure.
You know, that he didn't want to include in the interview.
Personal chat.
Right.
Hey, Bokeem. Johnny. First of all, I got to tell you off air, The Rock is my favorite action movie of all time.
Thanks, man.
I remember your line. Man, killing seals? Killing seals is one thing. I just had to say that.
No, all right. So, first of all, that's his favorite movie of all time. Second of all, he didn't quote the line right.
Yeah, I can see why you remember that line.
Third of all, The Rock was, if correct me if I'm wrong, 25 years ago?
Well, not that long.
It came out in 96. But.
So he took care of that off the air, so he didn't have to include it in the interview.
No, it's more important things to talk about in the interview.
Right.
Let me ask Ralph, though, because you know what? You hang out with a lot of actors. Do they love it when you come up to them and quote lines from their movies from 50 years
wrongly,
ago? Is that something they enjoy?
Poorly?
Well, Bokeem might, because he's probably the only guy ever to quote that line back at him. You know, it's nice to be remembered for your work sometimes, so it wasn't a horrible thing for him to do.
So now we move on to other topics with Bokeem.
I'm telling you off the air that The Rock is my favorite action movie of all time.
No way! No way! You told him off the air so that you wouldn't have to say it on the air, and you started the on-air portion by talking about what you told him off air.
I had to, Ralph.
Why would you do it off the air then? If you had to, just start
just
with
it. Just do it on the air. Just do it as part of the interview.
I like to prepare with my guests. So
you just ask him the questions ahead of time and then ask him again?
Sure.
No, you said off the air, just between I want to tell you. And then...
telling you off the air that The Rock is my favorite action movie of all time. Do we see the same kind of Bokeem in The Rock in Total Recall?
All right, so he wants...
No, it's a brand new Bokeem.
But he does want to know if the character from The Rock is identical in Total Recall.
No, this is Bokeem 2.0, man.
No, I think it's a completely different character, a different time, different premise, different era.
Yeah, different everything. It's
different
a different
role, different movie.
Yeah. Different writer, different director, different storyline, different character.
So that wasn't my strongest question.
So he interviews who's the guy that does the score? The guy that does the musical score. The musical
composer?
Score? Composer.
Okay.
He interviews the composer. And he wants to know how the composer gets into the right frame of mind to write this music for the movie.
What kind of a mindset do you get in when it comes to the composition of a film like Total Recall? Do you sit down, maybe light up a little joint, light some, you know, get some Ice Cube playing in the background? What's your inspiration?
Dude, it's always the movie.
It's always the movie. Why would you answer the question that you asked in a bizarre, like, do you get high and listen to Ice Cube?
How are you going to write music when you're listening to other music, smoking a joint?
And don't
inspiration.
You know, but don't you know that when a guy writes music for a movie, he's watching the movie?
No.
You didn't know that?
I had an idea, but...
What's happening? All right, so they've gone too long without talking about Beer Mug.
Oh, sure. No. I hope he brings up the fact he's a drummer.
He and the composer have talked way too long about it. Other things that are not centered around Beer Mug, so it's time to bring it back.
Harry, last question for you. You just met me, so it's, you know, it's best as you can sum up. What would the soundtrack for my life sound like? What kind of elements would you use in the composition of my life?
Man. That, that happened.
Christ.
Are you kidding?
That happened.
How often do you get to talk to a famous movie composer, and why not ask him that? I'm curious. That's cool.
There's no answer. Because there's no answer.
Sure there's an answer.
He doesn't know you. You admit that first thing.
And how could he even describe what that music would sound like? What words do you want him to use to describe that to you?
From our 5-minute interaction, I wanted to see what kind of a soundtrack my life would go to.
Now,
what answer are you looking for? Are you looking for him to say, oh, it's thunderous with lots of brass instruments?
Yeah,
what do you
want
him to say?
Yeah, something like that.
There's got to be a guitar involved somewhere. I should think a Lindrum.
How's that?
Yeah. Right.
A Lynn drum and a guitar.
Yeah. Yeah, electric drums.
Maybe like a maybe a slide whistle somewhere?
Yeah, maybe one of those.
Now Muggs is answering.
Yeah,
Harry, thank you so much for your time. Enjoy the movie.
Thanks.
Yeah.
What a nice man.
What a nightmare for him.
Talking to
How
John.
Embarrassing.
He answered my question. What do you want?
That doesn't mean it's not embarrassing.
But he played along. And he was nice.
The douchebag concerto, I think, is
how dare I
make for your soundtrack.
Now he's talking to John Cho.
One question. How distracting was it working alongside Beale and Beckinsale?
I got a wife, man.
Oh.
I got a wife. It's super distracting. They're really hot.
And so they dig the Asian guys, the Asian persuasion?
Yes.
Wow.
He doesn't want to answer that.
Shut
That's borderline racist.
And John Cho, by the way, one of the nicest guys, frequent guest at the Kevin and Bean Show. I don't know that I can look him in the face next time he comes in after we put him through that.
It went from just bad and awkward to borderline racist.
Wait a minute. How is that? He is from Asian descent. How am I racist?
Yeah, but to make that the focus of the guy's done a ton of movies, a super talented actor, and he's talking about Jessica Biel, and they're attracted him because they like the Asian persuasion? They like the Asian guys?
Yeah.
And by the way, there's a really odd lip smack in the middle of that where nothing's happening. I don't know if you heard it, but listen closely.
So they dig the Asian guys, the Asian persuasion?
Right here.
Why is he licking his lips there? Why is he going?
That was my satisfied lip smack.
You were so proud of that question.
That was I'm happy with the question?
Yeah.
Okay, then Colin Farrell.
If I were to say to you, are you horrible at your job because you're a Jew?
Well, that's just racist, Ralph.
Right.
That's just
what's the difference?
But instead of focusing on just you as a person being horrible, I'm pointing out your religion as somehow connected to that.
No, I started off the question if it was distracting working with Beale and Beckinsale,
right.
And if they dig Asian guys. That tied in together. That I was not racist on that one.
Let's not forget this.
Let's not forget that. You making cow noises,
because that's very important. All right, now Colin Farrell, the star of the movie.
How much did you model your character after Arnold's character?
Oh, you know, just my pecs. It's my pecs and inner thigh, I call it.
Pretty shredded dude.
There.
In your inner thigh.
I was my inner thigh. No, I got in as good enough shape as I could in 4 months before we started shooting.
You're looking fantastic, sir.
Well, thank you very much, man. Thank you very much. It means the world coming from you.
Awesome. It means the world coming from you.
And now Muggs is face to face with Kate Beckinsale.
Oh, please no, please no, please no.
By the way, can we just briefly touch on how much did you base your character on Arnold Schwarzenegger? Really? Really?
Yeah, I know.
Really?
Once again, Colin Farrell, great dude, played along.
How do you compose music for my life?
See?
That's even worse.
Wow.
See what I do?
Now, Kate Beckinsale, who we're going to talk to in 45 minutes.
Just because they're nice doesn't mean you're not a dick. You get that, right?
How am I a dick?
You know, it's not excused because they were nice and polite to you back doesn't mean you didn't ask horrible questions.
That's the best you could come up with is comparing him to Arnold Schwarzenegger? All you had.
Look, with all my interviews from this red carpet interview, I mentioned a guy's previous work. I mentioned a guy's good looks. And I'm mentioning a guy's composition techniques. What do you want?
No. You put your composition techniques in there. He didn't say I smoke weed and listen to Ice Cube. You
smoke
did.
Smoke joint, listen to Ice Cube. How about me? Write me music for me.
Let's make some music about me. You don't know me,
but
what would you
met me now? What do you think of me?
All right, Kate Beckinsale, here we go.
Oh, my God. Kate Beckinsale is standing right in front of me, and butterflies are quickly accumulating in my stomach. Kate, will you marry me?
I'm taken. If you caught me 8 years ago, I'd have been in there.
Oh, 8 years ago. Listen, Kate just said 8 years ago, I would have had her.
Yeah, you would have had her. You would have had her.
Oh, Jesus.
She would have. I would have been hers. She would have been mine.
You know she was playing along, right?
Oh, man.
You know she's being nice.
No. No, I'm clear. She clearly wanted me.
I'm a little nauseous. I'm a little bit nauseous.
Come on.
I'm not kidding. I'm a little queasy.
I know you just met me, but how would you score, if you were to write a composition, how would you score my life?
I'm with Ralph. I'm nauseous over those beer mug interviews. Nauseous is what I am.
Oh, I'm happy as can be.
He tells them he's from Kiss FM, right? Please tell me he's not admitting to being from our show when he interviews these people.
He tells them he's from us.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, 7:20, let's say 9, here on a Friday morning. We're going to talk to Kate Beckinsale ourselves, by the way, and try not to embarrass ourselves, coming up in about a half an hour. Dr. Drew has an HLN show, as you know, that airs each weeknight. And on Wednesdays, he does Sex and Relationship Wednesday, where they tackle a hot topic. And in this particular week, they had Steve Santagati, who I don't know. He is an author, apparently, and actress Cheryl Lee Ralph. And they are discussing
Well, prepare to wade into a minefield here.
Should you tell your partner they are overweight, particularly if that partner is female? Steve.
Well, it's just like judging the Olympics. You shouldn't be able to judge dancing, swimming, or whether your partner is fat or not if you yourself are not in great shape.
Okay.
However,
that guy's a dick, right? That's not true at all.
No,
you can be a fat judge and still be a good judge of somebody's gymnastics performance, right?
Yeah, but if you're a fat loaf and then you tell your wife she's gained weight.
I think that's his point.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean she hasn't gained weight and she's still not fat, even if you're fat. It doesn't have anything to do with whether she's fat or not.
But it's just not cool.
I think he's saying you're in no position to judge, so keep your mouth shut. In that case.
I think Dr. Drew agrees with you.
If you look wonderful, then you should definitely tell her, just don't use the F-A-T word. Tell her, this is what we're going to do. We're going to get you back in shape. We're going to get you exercising and do stuff with her if you love her.
Is that you laughing, Kevin?
Yes, because that's the same thing as using the F word.
Because he saw my face.
We're going to get you back in
shape.
Here's
what we're going to do, honey. I'm going to run your ass off.
I'm not saying you're fat. I'm just saying we have to get into better shape is what he's suggesting. And the interview, by the way, is listable to this point. It's about to really jump the tracks here. When Shirley Ralph comes in and starts screaming at everybody.
To motivate her to get healthy and clean out the refrigerator.
All right, so for honest, those that accuse you of being uncaring, I would get... Well, Shirley doesn't necessarily agree, but I think Steve's coming from a good place, Shirley, which is that he is trying to be concerned about his partner's health and then trying to support her to get better.
I love that.
Okay.
I love that. Is Steve single?
I am.
Is Steve single?
I right now.
And this is why Steve is single. You do not do these sort of things. If a woman looks at her partner and says, have I gained weight? Do I look fat? She already knows she's gained weight.
Exactly.
She's already looking fat to herself.
We're going to take some phone calls here in a minute, by the way, at 1-800-520-1067. We are going to look for your stories of having this conversation at home.
Now, the common wisdom on the Dr. Drew Show, and I guess in life as, you know, in general, is if it's a woman telling a guy he's fat, that just should happen. That should happen.
Well,
okay.
You all just don't seem that offended by
right,
it.
Right, that's okay.
Most of you.
But a guy telling a girl is a whole different story.
So, Lisa, why are girls so much more offended by being told, hey, you've gained a bunch of weight, than guys are?
Well, I think the biggest problem is that it's okay for guys to gain weight.
Right.
And it's not okay for girls. So the double standard right off the bat really pisses us off. We are held to a much higher standard than you guys are.
No question.
Is it a double standard, or do we earn the extra 20 pounds because we have something else to offer the world? Do you ever think about that?
And then there's that.
That's bean speaking.
Yeah, there's that.
For those of you that get us confused.
Because my job as a guy is not to be hot. That's why. Because I have other things that I contribute.
It turns out other women have things to do. Like they raise kids, and they work, and generally they take care of the house, and generally they make your meals.
Right.
So you know what? If you want her to eat healthier, start doing some cooking.
What's at the top of that list of the woman's job, though? It's to be hot. Come on, let's be honest,
right? No, that's not at the top of the list.
Oh, man.
So basically what Shirley Ralph,
the
actress, is saying is a woman already knows she's gained weight if she says, do I look fat or whatever? And she certainly doesn't need you to bring up that she's gained the weight. But what do you do? I mean, if you are in a relationship and your woman has gained a ton of weight and you're unhappy about it, do you just ignore it? Do you not say anything? Because that doesn't seem like that's a long-term solution either.
For the purposes of this conversation, let's say it's more than, you know, 25. It can't be 5 pounds.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's
right.
Got to be
significant.
30 to 50 pounds.
I'm sure that she's, you can tell with her attitude that she's gotten really unhappy.
Right.
Because people don't feel good when that's going on.
So focus on that is my attention.
So maybe focus
you
on that.
You don't seem happy.
What's your weight?
And the other thing is, like, actively help in terms of don't run her ass off, don't make her get on a bike, but, like, how about you start preparing some healthier meals? Like, maybe you guys have this habit of ordering in pizza and stuff like that. Well, that's impossible to try to control your weight when you're eating like that. So why don't you, I don't know, get out the grill and grill some chicken and some vegetables?
You're now trying to get me in the kitchen?
Yes.
That's what's happening here?
How much do you care?
None. He doesn't care at all. You know that. You know the answer to that.
All right. We want to find out how it's worked out for you. You've attempted to have this conversation with your partner. And I guess for the purposes of this, we're talking about men telling women, right? That's what we're interested in.
Yes.
Okay. 1-800-520-1067. This could be a lot of fun because we're not in that relationship. So give us a call. We'll talk to you next right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show.
How do you tell her she's fat?
On the next Maury Povich.
Nope.
Kevin and Bean Show, 742.
Taking your phone calls on that very topic. Dr. Drew discussed it on his HLN show this week, and the conversation got very heated because they made the mistake of bringing a woman into the talk. That's what happened. That's where that went wrong. Let's talk to, man, we got some great ones here. Let's talk to Stan. He's on line six. Let's find out how his approach worked. His lady had been gaining a few pounds. He decided he was going to do something about it. How did it go? Hi, Stan. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Lisa May.
Hi, Stan.
How'd you do it?
Well, I bought her a scale for her birthday.
You did
that
not.
That is just a lie.
Yes, I did. No, that's the absolute truth. I thought...
No, we believe you. We just can't believe you.
Why would you give her... I don't believe you. Why would you give her a scale for her birthday?
Because I was being thoughtful. She was always complaining about, oh, I need to lose weight. I need to go on a diet. I really need to... So I thought, wow, this is the perfect gift.
Oh, my God. And you went into it thinking it was going to really please her.
You thought it was tactful?
You're a dumb human being.
What was her response?
What was she pleased?
Oh, no.
No.
She was pissed off.
Yeah.
What a surprise.
Not pleased at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know that's not a birthday gift. You know it's an appliance, right? It's like buying a woman a blender, right? You get that.
Yeah, but they don't say, oh, I need to blend this, I need to blend. She was complaining about her.
Right.
Then, you know
for
what?
A very long time. So
Mister.
I thought, well, this is a good start.
You are quite a thoughtful man.
I never told her she was fat.
How about you buy you a scale, and then if she wants to use it.
What do you mean I never told her she was fat? You got her a scale. Come on, Stan.
Thank you, Stan. Let's try Tracy. She's on line five. Now, I think she's the one who was talked to by her man. Hi, Tracy. Welcome to the show. Thanks for calling.
Hi.
What happened?
Well, I was dating this guy for about 5 or 6 months, and he started acting funny one weekend and just being kind of reserved and aloof. And I thought, oh, well, maybe he's stressed out with work or school at the time. And so I asked him about it. And he said, no, nothing's wrong, nothing's wrong. Well, later that day, he texted me saying, well, you know what really is the problem is that you put on a few pounds.
Oh, in a text.
He texted
in a text.
He texted me about it.
Oh, that's, and a few pounds. That's sweet.
How much weight had you gained?
Honestly, it was probably 3 pounds. I mean, I'm pretty conscious about my weight. So.
Did you say three?
Yes, three. It wasn't 10, 15, no, three.
Tell me you dropped him via text.
Oh, yeah, I did.
Okay, good.
Good girl.
You can forget about ever seeing me again.
All right, good.
Wow, via text. Strong. Thank you, Tracy. Appreciate that.
And by strong, we mean stupid.
Let's go to Moses. He's on line four. Let's see if this is any different than buying a woman a scale. Hi, Moses. Welcome to the show. What'd you do?
Hey, party people. What's up, Lisa May?
Hi, Moses.
How'd you do it?
I bought her a gym membership for Christmas.
For Christmas.
That does not seem like a good Christmas present.
Listen, people, if you have to figure out a way to talk to a woman about her weight, don't do it on her birthday, on Valentine's Day, or at Christmas.
Yes.
I know. Oh, my gosh. She started crying.
Do it at Thanksgiving. Remember, I'm thankful for when you used to be slim. something like that.
That's what you want, by the way, is tears at Christmas. Thank you for the call.
Membership.
All right, let's talk to Jessica. She's on line seven. I think she's approaching this from a completely different angle. Jessica, what say you?
I agree with Bean. Women should look good. That's part of their job.
Right.
Look good for a man.
Right.
So, yes, and if I ask my boyfriend if I'm fat, I'm obviously feeling like I am, and he needs to bring me back down to earth and tell me you gained a little bit of weight.
Wow.
But what about the actress on the Dr. Drew show that we were listening to the audio from who says a woman already knows she's gained weight. She doesn't need to hear it from any other person. She's acutely aware of it.
If I'd ask her if I gained weight, yeah, I know I'm gaining weight. But if he tells me, no, you look good, then that's just like encouraging me. He needs to bring me down to earth.
How about that? So you want a little bit of tough love. You don't want to be lied to basically about it.
No.
How does it feel to be the only one?
I'm the only one. You gotta look good. Come on.
You might be the only one, Jessica.
No.
But I think that makes you a prize. Thank you very much for calling.
Oh, my God. Unbelievable.
Kate Beckinsale from Total Recall joins us coming up after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph, you just want to come in and do the interview because I feel like we're going to embarrass ourselves. Beer Mug's already embarrassed us. You just want to do it. You're the pro.
Well, I've done it already. I've interviewed her several times.
Comic-Con.
Yeah, I did the Total Recall panel this year, and I did the one last year as well.
Come save us.
Spoke with her and her husband, Len Weissman, who's a great dude, and Colin Farrell. I never once asked Colin Farrell, how do you compare yourself to Arnold Schwarzenegger in that movie? I went out of my way to avoid that question because I said, that is the most sort of
pandering, easy, stupid question you can ask a guy who's filling the shoes of another actor in a role.
It's the most, literally the most obvious question on the table, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Bean, will you not participate if Ralph comes in?
I hate to miss an opportunity to talk to Kate Beckinsale.
How many boobs do you have? Do
hey,
you
have, that's you a have legitimate boobs, question.
Like the three boob girl? Let's talk about your boobs,
I'm
Kate.
I'm worried about you.
I'm not going to ask her if she'll marry me, beer mug. I'm not going to do that. That's not going to be my out-of-the-gate question. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
It's going to go poorly.
Well, right. Come on in, Ralph, since you know more about the movie than we do. But she's joining us next here on the Kevin DeBean Show. Ralph's got the showbiz beat right now.
Muggs has out-creeped Bean in an interview. That's saying something.
That's saying something.
8 years ago, I would have had her.
I want to give you a heads up. Hollywood Babylon is back. Tomorrow night, Kevin Smith and I took some time off while I was off gallivanting around. But it's been weeks since we've done a Hollywood Babylon. We're going strong in the month of August. Tomorrow night at the John Lovitz Theater at Universal City Walk. Come on by, 10 o'clock. You can go to tickets. You can get tickets, rather, at lovitz.com or babylonralph.com. We'd love to see you come out and see us.
Yeah, hi, this is David live show. Listen, I wanted to figure out how to get tickets if I get down there.
Yeah, you can go to babylonralph.com or lovitz.com. And then we're going to be at the Coach House in San Juan Capistrano the following Saturday. So,
Coche Fantastico.
Coche Fantastico. And then Ottawa, if you're in Canada, if you're listening in Canada, we'll be in Ottawa on the 25th.
I don't think we have a lot of Canadian listeners.
We don't have a Canadian affiliate any longer? I know we used to. I wish we were big in Canada.
We do not.
No, I think we dropped them along with all the other affiliates. Right?
That's right. That was an interesting experiment in syndication, wasn't it? Arnold Schwarzenegger is now a professor.
Nope.
At the University of Southern California.
Did he base his teaching roles on Colin Farrell?
I believe he did. He has put up $20 million in personal and fundraising cash to start a think tank at USC.
Is this? Yeah, this can't be true.
It is the USC Schwarzenegger Institute for State and Global Policy. It's not enough that he brought down a state. Now he wants to bring down the globe, apparently, with his policies.
Is this a deal where you donate enough money and they put your name on a building and that's what it is?
More than that. You donate enough money and you get to become a professor and lecture at the school. September 24th is when the project kicks off. Schwarzenegger will start his lectures in December. So if you are a lucky undergrad at USC, you get to watch Professor Schwarzenegger talk about world policy.
Can you imagine?
First we get all the leaders in a big gymnasium. And then
what's
all,
a gymnasium?
A gymnasium is where they all lift weights into the all huge. And then they battle it out for world supremacy. God's sakes.
This is going to turn out to be a false story, Ralph. I'm telling you right now.
I'm telling you
Retraction
it's not.
On Monday.
Washington Post. It's a real newspaper.
Wow.
Macaulay Culkin, he is either fine or in dire, dire straits, depending on who you talk to.
He joined Dire Straits?
Oh, man.
Are you kidding me? I didn't even know he could play an instrument.
Dire Straits health-wise, you mean, or
yes.
Financial? Or
National Enquirer has a cover story, take it for what it's worth, that he is addicted to heroin fighting for his life.
Dude.
6 months to live is the headline.
Wow.
Dude.
That sucks.
His representatives have stepped up yesterday and said he is not addicted to heroin, that the story is impossibly and ridiculously fictitious. That is quite a denial.
It is.
Do you know, Ralph, if anyone is there at the house with him?
Oh, my God, file! Wow!
No, Bean, I believe he's home alone.
Overruled.
I said a movie called Home Alone!
In the file. Carmen Electra might want to find another boyfriend. Life and Style magazine reports that her boyfriend, Rob Patterson, was not only 3 months late buying her a present for her 40th birthday...
3 months.
Yeah, but the present he bought her
was a scale.
Well, was even worse. Was a used treadmill off of Craigslist.
Oh my God!
I guess that's one way to tell your girlfriend she's put on some weight. Buy her a used treadmill off of Craigslist for her 40th birthday, 3 months after the birthday passes.
Wow.
Listen, if you're Carmen Electra may not be in her prime any longer.
No, but.
But if you're dating Carmen Electra, you better take care of business, is all I'm saying.
You got to do better than that.
Because she's still pretty diabolical. So
she doesn't need a treadmill, I'll tell you that.
Do the right thing there, won't you, Rob Patterson? Rob Patterson? And who would ever think that Abraham Lincoln would be the world's biggest movie star?
There is yet another movie in the works about our 16th president.
Wasn't enough he was a vampire killer?
It wasn't enough he was a vampire hunter.
Which I loved, by the way. That was a good movie.
And it wasn't enough that Daniel Day-Lewis will be playing Lincoln in the Steven Spielberg movie that's coming out in November.
Oh,
there's
no.
yet another film called The Green Blade Rises, which will be a thorough examination of his young life. No vampires involved. Diane Kruger has just signed on to play his stepmother, Sarah Lincoln, who was one of the big influences in Abe's life. So another biopic about Abraham Lincoln. How many movies about Abraham Lincoln do we need? I would think the Spielberg version, which is a straight up biography.
It's going to be something about aliens.
No, he's not fighting aliens or anything. And then you got the wacky vampire hunter movie. I would think that covers all the bases.
That's enough, I think.
I think so, too. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Tony Bennett, legendary singer, 86 years old today. And just did a big duets album. He worked with Gaga, didn't he? Did he have a big duet with Gaga?
He sure did.
Yeah. A lot of the contemporary stars are just thrilled with the opportunity to sing with, you know, Bono and everybody like that just wants to sing with Tony Bennett while he still can.
At 86, he's still got pipes. I mean, he still performs on a regular basis and sounds good.
Yep.
Martin Sheen, 72 years old today. Martha Stewart is 71. Say what you want about Martha Stewart, but she's pretty good looking 71.
Yeah.
She's well preserved.
Really?
Don't you think?
No.
She doesn't look 71.
No, I think she looks good, too, especially for someone who's done jail time.
Well, she wasn't breaking rocks.
I'm just saying.
This looks pretty good for someone who sat in a hotel room for a while.
Kevin, you don't think Martha Stewart looks good for 71?
No.
All right. We'll just have to agree to disagree on that
one. I just don't.
John Landis, movie director, 62 years old. John C. McGinley, the actor, is 53. James Hetfield of Metallica is 49 years old. Stephen Carpenter, Deftones guitarist, 42. Spinderella of Salt and Peppa is 41. A lot of requests. Why there's no bell for Spinderella, by the way.
Really? Is she attractive? I didn't think she was the attractive one.
She's attractive.
Is she bell-worthy?
I'm just telling you what I get from the streets.
We'll consider it.
That's the word on the streets.
We'll consider
people
it for an hour.
Spinderella's being
passed
over.
We'll send it up to the 13th floor and see what the judges say and get back to you in an hour.
Fair enough. No question, however, that Evangeline Lilly
from
Lost is 33 years old today. Did you ever see that movie about the boxing robots with Hugh Jackman?
No.
That was good.
I did not. Raw Steel.
Robout.
Fighting Steel. Something Steel. Real Steel.
Kristen McNutt the Bolts.
Real Steel.
I actually enjoyed that film. Caught it on an airplane. Didn't think I would like it. Really liked it. And she was in that. She was quite good in it. She's 33 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Hey, party people. Thanks a lot for tuning in. Ralph, remember how you were telling us how you were down in San Diego for Comic-Con the last couple of years
yes.
and were moderating the Total Recall?
I've done it twice. Two panels for Total Recall, yes.
On stage last year, on stage this year, Kate Beckinsale will not stop calling you. I think she's on the phone
right
now.
Is that what it is?
Oh, she's bugging me again?
I think she... joke would have worked a lot better if Dave would have put her on hold. But the point is, here she is harassing you at work. You can't get away from the woman. You keep telling her, I'm busy, I've got to get back to my real life, but she won't leave your wonderful San Diego life behind.
It was a little awkward. I mean, I was on stage there with her husband, director Len Wiseman, as well as the rest of the cast. But Kate kept looking down the table at me. I think there was a connection made on the Comic-Con, yeah.
Hey, Dave, how's that going in there?
Can we buy him any more time?
Pretty well.
And we say all that just so that we can get her on the phone and she'll have no idea who she's talking to.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, there we go.
I have to reset.
And now...
Hey, Kate.
Take two. Kate Beckinsale, good morning.
Hi, how are you?
Very good, thank
What's
you.
What's up? Are you so sick of talking about Total Recall at this point?
No, I love to.
Wow, she is a good actress, guys.
Yeah. Ralph was telling us that you talked about Total Recall this past Comic-Con, and the year before that you were talking about this movie already.
I know. I just can't seem to stop going on about it.
Well, a daunting task to take on a film that is considered sort of a classic in the genre, Kate. You and your husband, of course, Len Wiseman, the director. You kind of went back to the source material, right? The original story I can remember for you wholesale?
In some respects, yes. It's because we used the source material and also the original movie and also just certain things that are just original to our movie. But no, I wouldn't say that it's going completely back to the source material because we still, I think, use some of the contours of the 1990 film as well.
Now, was it insulting at all when your husband comes to you and says, I would like you to play the worst and most dangerous, deadly wife any man has ever had in movie history?
It's terribly insulting. We're still sort of in a slight argument about
it. It does sound like that was his way of getting to another conversation. It just sounded like it was a hint of some sort.
Exactly. I feel very flattered. It's a really cool part. I was very happy to play her. But, yeah, the first thing is you do raise an eyebrow and go, I don't know why you thought of me.
Right.
Yeah. You're no stranger to action work in films, and yet this one looks even more grueling and more physically demanding than even your other films.
I mean, I found them all quite grueling, to be honest with you. I mean, you definitely end up with a bunch of bruises, but this one was, you know, I suppose this one I felt I was beating up everybody in one go, so it was quite tough.
You see the trailer, and every single scene you're in, you're kicking somebody's ass.
Yep.
I think most of them, yes. It's not usually me just sitting down eating a banana in between. We didn't include those scenes.
If there's a scene, and I'm not saying this in a creepy way, but if there's a scene of you eating a banana, please put it on the DVD extras.
Oh my God.
Come on, Bean. We all thought it, but why'd you have to say it?
Kate, when you were starting out as an actress, Much Ado About Nothing, I guess, is the first movie I remember seeing you in. But, I mean, you probably never expected you were going to end up growing up to be a big action star. It's an unusual arc of your career, isn't it?
It is a bit strange, yeah. I mean, I must say, when I started, what I wanted to do was have the opportunity to do lots of different kinds of things and sort of learn that way. And so, you know, I would keep finding myself doing things that were fairly surprising. I did a movie in French, or I'd do, you know, various things that were, you know, that were cool and different. And no, I had no idea that anybody would ever think handing me a machine gun would be a good idea. That never occurred to me, no.
Were you a natural athlete as a girl? Did you do a lot of sports and things?
In no way.
In no way? Wow. And she really pulls it off.
I was always the one trying to kind of get out of PE. And not being very good. And even now, I mean, it's all very well. I'm very good at picking people up and stuff, but thank goodness nobody's throwing a ball at me or handing me a paddle or a bat.
That'd be so funny if you're kicking everybody's ass and somebody just tosses you a ball and you can't catch it.
Yeah. Immediately couldn't catch it. Yeah, exactly. Nobody's scared anymore.
So after a movie like this, a grueling movie like this that takes a long time to film and you really have to be on your toes, do you just want to do a movie where you're sitting on the couch watching TV, talking to a guy on the phone? I mean, isn't that like the dream next gig?
Absolutely. Or be in sweatpants.
In sweatpants.
Definitely.
Well, we've been looking forward to this movie for a long time. It's Colin Farrell, of course, is the lead character. What's it like working with him?
Fantastic. He's amazing. And I have the advantage of being British, so I can understand what he's saying, because he talks very, very quickly in real life.
Yeah, do you have subtitles for him on the movie?
No. He's American in the movie. You can relax.
I see. Okay. All right, good.
Yeah, but he's so intelligent and so fun and so committed. He's a brilliant
person. And we're big Breaking Bad fans as well. Bryan Cranston is just an amazing actor.
And I know. Well, I think that's why he's in the movie, because I remember my husband and I sitting getting completely obsessed with Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
At one point, and I thought, oh my God, do you think this guy will play the bad guy in a movie? And we thought, well, that would be so exciting.
And we talked to Jessica Biel, and she said he's just the sweetest, nicest, most kind-hearted, just the exact opposite of what he plays in Breaking Bad.
Absolutely. He completely is. And kind of like a kind of showman, like very good at singing and dancing. So he comes downstairs dancing like a kind of Broadway and being silly.
Me too.
Nice. Yeah, that's you, Kevin.
I'm good at that too. Yeah.
You know, Jessica Biel also mentioned, Kate, that your fight scenes, while intense, were also very polite in between takes. There was a lot of apologizing going on while you guys were fighting.
Lots of apologizing. I mean, you know, I have to, with Jessica, yes, obviously, to both women, but, you know, Colin wasn't shy of oh my goodness, I'm very sorry, either. I mean, it was one of the most deeply civilized, really violent fights in an elevator I've had in my whole life.
Yeah. Although Beale did say she kicked your ass. Is that true?
Oh, well, I like to let her say that, because she did end up with a bloody nose and I didn't. So I think it's
nice. I'm just trying to get something started. She didn't say that.
We got smack talking. Well, it's one of the most anticipated movies of 2012. It opens up everywhere today. Colin Farrell, Jessica Biel, Bryan Cranston, and of course our guest, Kate Beckinsale. The movie is called Total Recall. Go see that. Thank you so much for joining us. Always great to have you on the Kevin and Bean Show. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure. It was really fun. Thank you, guys.
I know you love the politics, Kevin. I know that's your very favorite. You spend all of your time watching C-SPAN and Fox News and CNN just gearing up for the presidential election.
Hate politics so much.
Maybe you can answer for me, why do we still have these national conventions for the political parties where they nominate their person? Because it seems like we've known for like a year it was going to be Barack Obama versus Mitt Romney. Why are we spending all the time and money and effort to have these conventions to officially nominate them?
Why do you ask that? Did they used to
be
well,
a race?
Well, there used to be a question. If 25 years ago, 30 years ago, sometimes you didn't even know who was going to be the nominee until you went into the convention.
Well, this just must be to kick off the campaign and get PR.
My God, nothing could be more boring.
Yeah.
But they're already lining up their big guns for both parties' conventions later this summer. In September, actually, is when the Democratic National Party convention is going to be. And that is going to be in North Carolina this time. And the man who is going to be gaveling the convention to its start is our Mayor Villaraigosa of Los Angeles. He is a very popular up-and-coming star in the Democratic Party because, you know, there are Hispanic voters. There are tens of millions of them now, and people are actually already starting to talk about the mayor as a potential candidate for president himself in 2016.
What?
So we wanted to find out more about that, and we asked producer Dave to line up the mayor, and I believe we have Mr. Villaraigosa on the line with us right now. Hi, Mayor. How are you?
How you been, man?
Well, we've been all fine. Right. We haven't talked to you. It's been kind of a quiet summer for you. What's been going on?
Oh, you know, gangster life, fool. Just keeping my head on a swivel. You know how it goes.
You're the mayor. Woo. You're in office.
Yeah! Woo! Oh, maybe you, get some.
What are you shooting?
You know, doves. This is what it sounds like when the doves cry.
Just put down the guns. I don't know where you are, but okay. I'm sure it's not legal to be firing automatic weapons into the air. So, Mayor, you're spending the next couple of months going around speaking with Hispanic groups, trying to drum up some support for President Obama. You're doing a lot of work for him, and a lot of people say you're also laying the foundation for your own higher ambition. What do you think about that?
Right. One of these days, I'm going to be president.
Really?
I'm going to be the president. I'm taking things over.
Well, I mean, look, a lot of people thought we wouldn't elect an African-American president. That's happened. Why not a Latino man, right?
That's right, and there's more of us.
There are yes,
by 2016, I'm going to be everywhere. Every voter that's going there, they'll be like, I'm going to vote for Villaraigosa. And that's right. I take the power back. I'm going to be in control, man. I've already got ideas, crazy ideas for this country, man. What? I'm going to make sure that this country gets fixed. Sure.
Uh-oh. What? Like what?
First off, I'm going to save us money left and right.
Okay.
Think about it. How much rent you think they pay on the White House? I'm going to move the White House to East Los. It's going to be my grandma's guest house.
Okay.
I'm living there right now. I don't pay nothing, man.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I got cable. You know, I got a little hot plate, a Murphy bed. It's pretty nice, doc. You know?
I don't think they're paying rent at the White House. I think it's been paid off for a long time.
But... I know what I'm saying, but I save a lot of money. You know what
well,
I'm saying?
Well, it's probably expensive building
I've been living in the back of my grandma's house. It's everything is right there. You know, I could do my foreign policy from East Los. Everything's good. You know what I'm saying? It's nice out here.
It seems like you would probably need a little more security.
Walk down the King Tower. That's another way to save money. No more security.
Okay,
I don't need security. I got Flaco. I got Popeye. I got little Mister. I got Joker. I got Listo. I got Mr. Maniac number 4. I got Beckerwood. All these vatos, they just live right here in East Los. They'll take care of me. That's right.
First of all, you have to live in Washington, D.C. if you're the president. That's not negotiable. But second of all, you're not going to be able to hang out with Peckerwood when you're the president. I mean, you can't associate with felons.
I can do what I want. I'd be the president.
You'd be the president. That's true.
Probably you'd have to give up the guns, though. I don't think you're going to be able to shoot guns.
Give up the guns.
As a president.
I'm getting rid of the military. You know why? Because we don't need no military. Just the Raiders. Wouldn't it be nice, huh? The Raiders are going to Syria.
I'm not sure they could solve every problem that we
have. We save a lot of money.
Yeah.
New national anthem. I'm tired of that old Güero song.
New national anthem.
National anthem sucks.
Okay, what's new your... National anthem.
Wow. You got the bomb on me. What you do me? You got the bomb on me. Yeah.
Art LeBeau could be the Secretary of Slow Jams.
Secretary of Slow Jams. New Secretary of State, Eva Mendez.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Now you got my vote. That's a great idea.
That's a good choice.
New national bird. The eagle sucks.
What are you talking about?
The eagle sucks.
Well, what would you make the national bird?
Come on, helicopter.
ladies and gentlemen, your next president of the United States.
And no more oceans either.
What are you talking about? No more oceans.
That sucks. Oceans suck.
What are you going to do with them?
White people go in oceans.
But what are you going to do with them?
I don't know. No more oceans. Oceans are stupid.
No more oceans is part of your platform?
Make them denim. Wouldn't it be nice to go to the Pacific Ocean to Dickies or denim or something?
No.
Okay. No more space program.
No more space program. I think
smoke PCP. Okay. I got some angel dust make you feel like you're flying to Mars.
Okay. I think you need to get back to the drawing board with some of this campaigning. You got a few years to work on it at least.
Hey, Lisa Marie.
Yeah.
You got any Mexican in you?
Oh, that was funny.
Don't patronize me, bitch.
He's got guns.
All right. Good night, puto.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:42.
It's kind of weird that the Olympic opening ceremonies in London were a week ago tonight, and I think Paul McCartney is still singing Hey Jude. I'm still not sure that that's over with yet. But we're already 6 days into competition, and we go back to our Olympic correspondent. He is the Los Angeles Times Deputy Bureau Chief, John Cherva, joins us on the phone from England. Hey, John, how's it going, man?
Oh, things are going well. How about you guys?
Very good. Thank you.
It seems like I'm starting to see from some of the reporters that I follow on Twitter that a week is a long time to be doing, you know, dusk till dawn coverage or dawn till dusk coverage of the Olympics. And a lot of people are already starting to get homesick that are covering this event.
Well, most of the people that we bring over here are sort of veterans, and they know the drill. And it's clearly the cliche. It's a marathon, and you have to pace yourself. There's an initial burst of excitement that you're all fired up, and then as you start to get through the first weekend, you're thinking, "Oh my God, this thing isn't going to end." And then you get once you can see the finish line, then you get invigorated again. But this is my eighth one, and you sort of get the routine down.
I had a crazy, crazy dream last night that the U.S. basketball team won a game by 83 points. That's ridiculous, right?
It is pretty incredible. I guess you always take the over with them. But
83 points.
Is Nigeria good enough to be in the Olympics playing basketball if they can lose to anyone by that margin?
Well, they probably would have only lost by 40 or 50, except for just an unbelievable shooting. They were shooting, like, I think 80% from inside the arc. They shot 60-some-odd percent from three-point range. Carmelo, scored 39 points in, just 16, 14 minutes or something like
that. Here are all the details from the announcer. It was the craziest game ever.
So Team USA is going to win by 83. Highest scoring game in Olympic history. Biggest margin of victory in a United States game. Highest scoring game ever by an individual in Carmelo Anthony's 37. The most threes ever made in a Team USA game, 29.
I feel bad for Nigeria. That's just rough.
Well, I think one of the crazy things that you see, and it goes through all sports, not just basketball, is they maybe have too many teams in the tournament. And the one team that always gets in the tournament is the host country. And you're seeing Great Britain, who's basically, let's say, had a team handball, team for maybe two or three years. They're just getting killed. Their water polo team's getting killed because they wouldn't be in it otherwise.
They wouldn't have made it except for their host.
Right.
That makes a lot of sense. And by the way, I wanted to ask you about that because they don't play basketball or even see basketball in Britain. Are the fans there confused by it, or are they enjoying it? You think we're creating some new basketball fans with the Olympics being there?
Well, I think, frankly, they'd rather see the U.S. Dream Team than they would their own team.
Yeah.
But the Brit fans have been, and I was talking to Henry Chu, who's our correspondent who lives here, our foreign correspondent, and he says this has been he's never seen Brits this patriotic. They're wrapping the flag around them, they're openly cheering, because they're mostly sort of reserved, although the announcers, I love to listen to their the BBC announcers because they're just unabashed homers. come up for fourth, finish fourth.
This is the voice of John Cherva here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is talking to us live from London. We're talking about the Olympics going into its second week. Kevin and I were talking earlier, John, about how every Olympics there seems to be one American hero who emerges an overnight success to most of us. Michael Phelps would have been Beijing. Gabby Douglas has to be so far in week one. She has to be the superstar U.S. the athlete who's on everybody's radar after her unbelievable all-around win in the gymnastics, right?
Yeah, I think that even surprised the U.S. team. I mean, I thought they probably figured for a silver maybe, but the Russians, despite the incredible floor performance by the last one to finish second, was really good. And she's the perfect one on that team to do it because – as a, you know, as a journalist, as a reporter, you know, you really like people with the good quotes. And this U.S. team is not very good on quotes. They're all sort of one-word answer people, but Gabby is the best of those.
Right.
So so we're happy about that, and, you know, she'll be, you know, rich beyond her wildest dreams. You know, will she be another Shawn Johnson or Mary Lou Retton or whoever? And there's still some apparatus finals to come along, but, you know, we're not really expecting much there because, you know, she got the two big prizes.
Yeah, she did, and she's so cute, and she's so bubbly, and she's so excited, and she just seems so American. I mean, you just already picture her on the Wheaties box. It was so inspiring to see her. By the way, while we're talking about good quotes, is there much talk over there about that, I thought, incredibly awkward interview that Ryan Lochte's mom did, where she talked about all the one-night stands that her son has, and if she were young enough, she'd date him. Are people talking about that?
No, because basically we don't get to see the NBC feed here. You know, what's really crazy is the story that blew up over here this week was the was about the Chinese swimmer who everyone thought was doping, the 16-year-old. And I check back constantly with Home Office, and they're saying no, it's nothing. No, they're not doing anything.
Yeah, we don't hear anything. Isn't she the one who won a race by 5 seconds or something? And people are like, that's not even possible.
Right. Well, what she did was she ran a final leg faster than Ryan Lochte did. So that was it. And then I don't know. I don't think did the badminton controversy play big in the States?
A little bit of the athletes throwing the match. It's just crazy. Like, why would they do that?
Well, they wanted a better seed. Basically, if they'd won, they would have been put up against the top team. If they lose, they would have been up against a lesser team. That's all.
But they were so obvious about it, though. That was my point. Why would they do it in such a see-through way?
Well, because they probably didn't think they're going to be thrown out for it.
Plus,
four teams, eight players.
Plus, they know it's badminton, right?
Well, at the end of the day, you know, it's who has to run the barbecue.
Is there a boxing controversy that just happened that I heard about?
I don't think so.
Some kind of overturn?
Other than the U.S. is doing very poorly. Oh, they did kick out a judge. Was he from Uzbekistan? I'm not sure, but they did send a judge home for, or not a judge, a referee, I think.
Azerbaijan or something like that.
Azerbaijan, yes.
Good times. All right, John, we're almost out of time here. What do you have for us at LATimes.com that people should be aware of? I know you do put up every morning the very helpful schedule of the main events for the day because there is a lot to keep track of. What else should our listeners go to the website for this week?
Well, our Olympics blog is doing very well. I think a little bit later today we're going to have sort of an examination of the tax situation where some legislators were introducing a bill or want to introduce a bill because the athletes are actually taxed when they win a medal, $25,000.
What?
They get $25,000 for a gold, $15,000 for a silver, and $10,000 for bronze.
And they have to pay tax on that?
They want to tax them on the income, Kevin. They also want to tax them for the value of the gold medal.
What?
And people are saying, let's add another tax exemption to the code. That's what some are suggesting. And there are a lot of people obviously already lined up against it. So that's been an interesting battle.
Yeah, so I think coming up, track and field starting, that's gonna sort of dominate things for the rest of the games. And Phelps swims twice tonight, and I think once tomorrow to get a chance for three more medals.
There's a guy that's an exciting interview, huh? Michael Phelps.
Well, you guys and your team are doing a great job over there in London. John Trevor with the Los Angeles Times. He is the LA Times deputy bureau chief at latimes.com, and follow him on Twitter at jtrevor. We will talk to you in a week if that's okay, sir. Thanks for coming on.
You bet. We'll see you soon.
Thank you.
Ralph Garman is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Friday. Kevin DeBean Show, what's going on?
Well, looks like Universal's going ahead with plans to make the sequel to Snow White and the Huntsman. Despite the scandal surrounding it regarding its star, Kristen Stewart, and the director of that film.
Maybe because of.
Yeah, maybe. Rupert Sanders, the director of the film, of course, had an affair with Kristen Stewart while they shot the film. His wife, Liberty Ross, who is a model in her own right, a very lovely woman, has, according to RadarOnline.com, thrown down the gauntlet and forbid him from directing the sequel.
He can't continue to hang out with this whore?
No, apparently not.
I gotta be honest, I think that's reasonable.
Here's the thing, this was his debut film. This was his first breakthrough into big-time directing, so he's going to have to give up the sequel if he wants to save his marriage. Maybe he doesn't want to save his marriage, who knows, but Universal says that Kristen Stewart has is contractually obligated to do another film, and they are moving ahead with the plans. Now, what will this mean for Summit Entertainment and their Twilight franchise? Of course, all the scenes for Breaking Dawn Part 2 have already been filmed. The only problem that people can foresee for them is the publicity tours that they would like Robert Pattinson and Kristen Stewart to go on together. But it's kind of hard to get those two in the same room without being a little tension.
Separately, wouldn't you think they'll just separate them and just...
But how do you do that, though? They have to travel together. They go all over the world. They do these, you know, these group interviews with journalists and panels and the whole deal. It just seems like it'd be awkward.
I went to see the campaign last night, the new Will Ferrell, Zach Galifianakis movie. I went to the premiere, saw the film, and got a chance to chat with Will afterwards at the party. And he really was not in a good mood.
What?
He wasn't in a good mood at his own...
Will Ferrell? Record.
Yeah. Apparently, he is... Well, he's more broken up about Kristen Stewart and Rob Pattinson than anybody could possibly imagine. His
Will Ferrell's upset.
Oh, he is just mourning the death of their relationship, something fierce.
That doesn't make sense.
He went to Conan O'Brien's show before the premiere, and I think it was evident even then when he was talking to Conan that he was pretty upset.
There's this actress, Kristen Stewart, okay? And she goes by K. Stew. She had a boyfriend, right? And... Robert Patterson, and he's our pass, and
he's okay.
And she cheated on him. And,
that's horrible.
And they're broken up. They're not going to get back together ever.
I'm sorry.
And what they had was so special, Conan. You don't even know what they had. They were in love.
Yeah, he went on for about 10 minutes.
It got worse.
Wow. You can see it online. You can see it online. Just Will just destroyed by this news. Just
sorry. That's too bad.
But he did coin a new phrase for Kristen Stewart, which I think will come in handy.
I've been in love.
Oh, not like them. Not like them.
Never seen you.
She is a trampire. That's what she is.
She's a trampire. Now we know what to call Kristen Stewart.
We do have an update on this story, Ralph. It's late breaking, too late for your showbiz beat, but coming up right after the top of the hour, we do have some late breaking word on what's happening with our pets.
Oh, great. I'm glad you're going to be getting to it.
Got some news for you.
And
for Will.
I mentioned yesterday that Courtney Stodden was tweeting that she was getting her own reality show. She was off to shoot it. Now, thanks to the people at TMZ, we know exactly what it is. It really isn't the Courtney Stodden show, for those of you who aren't familiar with Courtney.
She said it was cameras following her.
Yes. She told the Stoddenistas, her fan base, that she would have her own reality show. For those of you who aren't familiar with Courtney, she is the girl who at 16 got married to 51-year-old Doug Hutchinson, actor from Lost and from The Green Mile. Now, she's now 17 years old. He is 52. And the show that they are filming... Her mother said, it's going to be great. I'm going to be in it, and Doug's going to be in it, and she's going to be in it. We're going to be in it all together. It turns out it is actually a show on VH1 called Couples Therapy, where five couples, including Courtney and Doug, go through intense counseling during the course of the show.
Is it real? Like Celebrity Rehab real?
Dr.
Real. Bruce treats him?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's
a real therapist?
It's a real therapist, yeah. Huh. How much real work is done on the show, I have no idea. But this is going to come as a shock to you, but the couple has acknowledged that there are some problems in their relationship because of their age difference.
How could that be?
Yeah.
52 and 17.
So that's the show we'll get to see the lovely couple on, and I'm just hoping for the best, or else I might have like a Will Ferrell, Conan O'Brien breakdown moment if those two split up.
Yeah, if they can't make it, really
in rust. Hope she's not a trampire.
He's got to be so sick of watching MTV in their house, you know, and Gossip Girl and all the other stuff that the teenagers watch, and he's like, hey, I'm 80, stop it.
Put on a bikini and wax the floor.
Right.
Whatever it is she does that makes her interesting. Today's celebrity birthdays. Tony Bennett's 86 years old today. Actor Martin Sheen, soon to be seen playing Charlie Sheen's dad on Anger Management.
Oh, what a step
Here's
down
some
for
casting.
Him.
He's such a fine actor, though, isn't he, Martin
He's
Sheen?
He's one of the best.
So good.
One of the best. I know he loves his son and all, but seriously.
Yeah, don't get caught up in that.
Martin.
Come on.
Tough love. Set up some boundaries. 72 years old today. Martha Stewart is 71. John Landis, the movie director, celebrates his 62nd birthday. John C. McGinley of Scrubs is 53. James Hetfield of Metallica, 49 years old. Stephen Carpenter, guitarist for Deftones, 42 years old. Spinderella of Salt-N-Pepa, 41.
Is.
Bean did a little research and decided she is Belle worthy.
Yeah, she's just over the edge.
And actress of Evangeline Lilly from Lost, who is well over the edge. She is 33 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You have been hearing for the past 2 weeks or so a lot of news about the Twilight stars, Rob Pattinson and Kristen Stewart. They are, they're broken up, and some accounts are saying that Kay Stu is still desperately in love with Rob Pattinson, even though she cheated on him with her director from the Huntsman movie, but that he won't even take her calls, Kevin. He won't even respond to her. No, she can't even get in touch with him. That's why she's making apologies through the press, because he won't even talk to her. What's he going to do was the question. The answer is, in our studio, ladies and gentlemen, Rob Pattinson joins us now.
Yeah.
On the Kevin Bean Show from the Twilight Films. How are you, Rob?
Hey, I'm doing all right.
Are you?
I know it's really a tough time for you, though, right?
It's been tough. Not because I lost that 14-year-old boy with a fug face. But
right.
Because I'm dealing with a lot of public embarrassment.
Yeah, the public part is tough. Yeah.
You were cheated on very, very publicly, and some are saying that you won't even come out of your house in L.A. Others are saying, no, that's not true. I've spotted him drinking all over London, trying to feel better. But we don't really know what the real story is. Like, what have you been doing? You really haven't been seen officially since the news broke.
I've been hiding out at Charlie Sheen's house.
Charlie Sheen's house?
Right. You'd be surprised how you can just bury yourself in blow and hookers when you're at Charlie Sheen's house.
Well, I don't think anyone would be surprised by that, but you being at Charlie Sheen's house.
Nice.
That's a shocking...
I was like the dead cat carcass you find at a hoarder's house. Just bodies on top of me. Hookers for days, Kevin. You should come. Fantastic.
So to speak.
Yes.
Are you going to forgive Kristen Stewart? Is it a one-time indiscretion and you guys can get past it or no?
Forgive her?
Yes.
You must be crazy.
Infidelity doesn't kill every relationship. It is possible you two could work
sometimes
it out.
Sometimes people work through it. Couples work through it.
I'd be open to the idea of forgiving Kay Stu if she looked like Kate Upton.
Yeah, well.
But she doesn't.
She really doesn't.
She looks like Schneider from One Day at a Time with no mustache.
That's a great reference.
And her boobs are concave, Lisa May.
Really?
Do you understand that?
Concave.
I'm a
so
real
they go
man.
In, not
I'm
out
a real
at
man.
All.
I like to do that boogity boogity boogity. And I can't do that. They're inwards. It's
that's
like
weird.
Yes.
That seems odd.
It's like someone just lobbed a grenade right there to her booby pots.
That's a shame.
Right open. It's so, just a big old crevasse.
She's too ugly to get a second chance, is what you're saying.
And she's angry.
Well, she doesn't seem like she's ever happy, does she?
Like, how about you come over to Rob Pattinson's house and say, I've put you through a lot of strife. I'll get underneath this table here. Take care of Nob Pattinson for a while.
Oh, boy.
Do you a favor. But
I wasn't aware there was a Nob
Pattinson. Look at me. I've got a fug face. I'm sorry about everything. And I'm just this sorrow-filled wizened biatch.
Okay, so drinking, hookers, blow. Are you also finding solace in your music at all, Rob?
That's right.
You do have a guitar.
Is that because?
It's because my only friend is my guitar, Lisa.
Your only friend is your guitar, right?
You know, I really feel like you understand me.
I do. I do understand
that's right.
you.
You and your crimson beauty. Oh, I just love to peel back
those curtains.
She's
got them too, Rob.
All right. Are you guys ready for a song?
Yeah, I think that's what Bean meant when he said...
Diggity, diggity, doo! Excuse me. Meeny, meeny, oh!
Rob Pattinson now with his guitar, his only friend.
My only therapy is hook of vagina. It is so nice. I have an angina. I don't even know what angina is, but it rhymed with vagina.
It's a nice song.
Rhymed with vagina.
That is beautiful.
Thank you.
Did you that just is... make that up, or was that?
No. I worked on it for days. Beer mug.
Hey.
Smells fantastic for a disgusting look. Guy. His beard looks like he's been hiding in Osama bin Laden's cave. Seriously.
He does look homeless.
Right?
He does.
What do your parents think? I know they are nice Jewish folks from the valley. They must be disappointed even though you smell like a cherry blossom.
What?
You know what doesn't smell good?
I'm afraid.
Kristen Stewart's panty jar.
Oh, come on.
It's true. Have you ever been next to the Hudson River at low tide?
What's a panty jar anyway?
It's a jar where you keep panties. Isn't that what you do here in America?
I didn't know that was a thing.
No.
That's true.
I don't know that we keep them in jars here.
Knicker compartment.
That's what you call it.
Did you write that song, including Beer Mug, before? Or did you just make that up?
Motivation just comes to me in the weirdest ways. Oh.
So it sounds like officially that what you're telling us is this relationship is over. There is no more Our Pets and Case 2.
No.
What?
No. Let me think about it. I have to channel it through song.
Okay. Rob Pattinson and his guitar. His only friend. And now here's Rob.
If a woman was a port, there's three entrances to that port.
No.
I think we've heard enough of this.
I'd be willing to take her back if all of them were open.
Okay. Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Wow.
I didn't always get access
with
my ship.
We got it.
It's a pretty big ship. Listen, I can understand a woman not wanting to open up her most protected port to Nar Pattinson. But that's the type of commitment I need.
We're out of time. We gotta go.
The type of commitment I need for me to consider it.
All right, let's say goodbye right now. Thank you, Rob.
Do you guys understand what I'm talking about?
It. Yes, we
I'm
do.
Making an analogy to the bed.
Yes.
That's right. That's right.
Yes. Yeah.
That's
yes.
right.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like we meant it.
Yes.
Third like eye blind. Right there.
3B.
Hey, Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
3B. That's what I call him.
You know, as we get closer to the election, boys and girls,
we're going to have to start dealing with the celebrity endorsements. We're going to start finding out who is on whose side.
Hmm. Yeah.
And it begins today. Congratulations to Mitt Romney. He has scored the coveted Jenna Jameson endorsement.
Oh, you must be proud.
She's been a Republican for a long time, Jenna has.
Oh, I beg to differ. She was a vocal Hillary Clinton supporter in the 2008 election cycle.
Oh, then I stand corrected.
Yeah. She was, she was celebrating the Gold Club's 8th anniversary last night.
Sure.
Which is a strip club in San Francisco. They were celebrating their 8th anniversary, and Jenna was there as a guest of honor.
And
she took the opportunity to endorse Mitt Romney for president.
Is that what people at the Gold Club are looking for from her?
Yes. Jenna, who are you voting for? Jenna, who are you voting for president? Here's
I'm Barack
quote.
Obama, and I approve this message.
She told a CBS San Francisco staff member, I'm very looking forward to a Republican being back in office. When you're rich, you want a Republican in office, she said.
That's why I thought she had been a longtime Republican. She's the queen of business.
So there you go. Now, I don't know who to vote for. Now I'm torn.
Yeah, now.
Yeah, that does put it right up there.
I guess I have to wait and see who Kim Kardashian's going to vote for. That'll help me decide.
There's going to be a lot of swinging back and forth depending on the celebrities. Ashton Kutcher, which way is he going?
What's he
going
to say? Right, you know? Snooki. Where's Snooki coming
Snooki,
down?
Where does she fall?
Yeah. Bet there was a lot of swinging back and forth at the Gold Club last night, too, by the way.
Doesn't
this
sound like
the
it.
Reason God invented celebrities.
Yeah. Doesn't sound like it if she's talking about politics.
Jenna Jameson. Here's the reporter who asked her, by the way. I want to have a conversation with him.
No kidding. Does anyone ever vote based on who a celebrity endorses?
I hope
yes.
not.
Yes.
Does
that happen Oprah once? Oprah Winfrey's fans that's
all that matters.
Listen to her.
Yeah, that's true. She endorses somebody.
Certain people, but most celebrities, I doubt.
Yeah.
I mean, Oprah, she rules with an iron fist. So
I'm still waiting for Dane Cook to tell me who I should vote for.
It's a big one.
LaToya Jackson is getting her... is getting her own reality show on Oprah Winfrey's cable network OWN. OWN.
LaToya is full on crazy.
Yeah, she's a loon.
I would watch helps. That.
The show Life with LaToya will premiere next year, says the network. It is being described as a candid look at the 59-year-old singer's life as she deals with family, friends, and business associates. Look, it's got to be more interesting than the Kardashian show, right? It's got to be.
Just because she's crazy.
Right.
Yeah. I'm in.
I mean, that's what they do in their show, but they're just dull as dishwater. So at least you got a lunatic who's dealing with people. That'd be fun. Right?
I think we had LaToya on to promote her Playboy appearance a few years ago.
Ah.
And she just doesn't sound like an adult when you talk to her.
Oh, no. She's
she talks like this.
She's a child.
Well, that's a...
And mentally, too. Not just her voice.
It's a Jackson trait.
It is, yeah.
That voice. Stephen Colbert is putting together a huge concert. It is called Steve Fest Colbcella
2012 Rock August Fest. And it's happening August the 10th aboard the Intrepid Sea Air and Space Museum in New York City. The lineup includes the Flaming Lips, Santa Gold, Fun, and Grandmaster Flash.
KC and the Sunshine Band.
No, they're not on the lineup, sadly.
That's too bad.
If you can't get to New York City to see the event, you can watch those performances on Comedy Central's The Colbert Report during the week of August the 13th. So he'll film those appearances and play them back. But it sounds like a good time. Another Abraham Lincoln film is in the works.
All right!
If you didn't get enough Honest Abe from Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter.
I like that movie.
And it's just not soon enough for you for November to roll around so you can see Steven Spielberg's movie Lincoln with Daniel Day-Lewis playing the 16th president.
Does he kill vampires?
He does not.
Well,
he just frees the slaves and keeps the union together. That's all he does, Kevin. Is that not enough for you?
No.
No. The Green Blade Rises is the name of the next Lincoln film, which will be a thorough examination of his life.
What's that a reference to, Ralph? Should I know what the green blade means?
The green blade rises.
If you don't know, we're not going to explain it.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Explain history.
I apologize. I don't get the reference.
Diane Kruger has been signed on to play
that reference. I get
his stepmother, Sarah Lincoln, who apparently was one of the big influences in Abe's life.
Open up a blog.
The Green Blade Rises. Well, this is the last of the trilogy, right? It was Green Blade Begins.
Nope.
Green Blade Returns, and then the Green
Batman.
Blade Rises.
That was Batman. Yeah.
Green Blade would be a cool superhero name, by the way. Dude running around with a green sword. I'm the Green Blade.
But it would be a blade of grass.
No.
God, you don't. Apparently it's a line from a famous poem by poet John C. Crumb.
Right.
We all know 1928.
That. What did you do? Right. Open up a blog?
Yeah.
I did. I opened up a blog, and they told me. So.
You don't know Crumb's work?
For God's sake.
I love Crumb. You ever have crumb cake?
That's the best.
He invented that. That's where it comes from. That's why it's called crumb cake.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Has anybody ever been fencing? I've been fascinated with fencing.
Lisa's been fencing.
I haven't been fencing.
No, but she was making.
I have the scream.
She was making the noise.
I do understand the fencing.
I'm fascinated
scream.
With fencing. It's the only thing I've really caught.
There it is.
The only thing I've seen in the Olympics at all is fencing.
Do you like it?
I like it. I like it a lot.
Did you hear Adam Carolla?
Yeah, but he's
hates. Pretty funny.
But he's right. Nobody.
Well, it's not. It's not fencing. Swashbuckling.
It should be.
It
would be so much more interesting
on a ship's mast and clank cutlasses together. It's an actual sport.
That would be so much better.
Well, it would be great if they shot-putted grenades too, but they don't. Okay,
yes, it would.
There are rules to each sport that are unique to it.
We need to redo the Olympics.
Pull the cannon and didn't shot put it.
Appreciate what for what it is.
They'd get it a lot further
away. It looks like a fascinating, mentally challenging, and physically challenging sport to me. So I've been obsessed with it, and I'm thinking I'm going to have to start fencing lessons. So I've been asking around.
You're
I put
not
it on Twitter,
start
and
fencing.
I am.
I know where you got.
And I just want to find out if anybody knows any good fencing instructors.
This is a setup for a joke.
It's not. I want a fence.
You don't want a fence.
There's a place in Burbank. I drive by it. You've driven by it.
I didn't notice it at the time. Perhaps my fascination with fencing was on the wane at the time, and I didn't notice
Olive,
it.
Olive, right before it's you get to first. Listen on to right
All right, I will look into
You're
it.
Not
What's it called?
School.
You know, it's called fencing school.
You're not
it's
called fence.
Fencing is us.
Look for fencing is us. Just saying.
No,
it just appeals
fencing.
To me.
It doesn't appeal to you.
You
Stop
need to do that
saying
scream.
It doesn't appeal to
it
me.
Just
it does.
It can't. It's not possible.
Why not?
It's just stupid.
It looks elegant and intricate. It looks like something that would be interesting.
You're not a fencer.
How do you know?
I've
never fenced. And neither of you, by the way.
I can read a fencer.
Oh, can you? In your extensive fence judging experience? How can you love it? It's crap. No, it's not crap. It's interesting. It looks interesting to me. It's like an interesting discipline.
It looks like it'd be exercise, just like boxing, something you could take up as a hobby
yeah.
and enjoy it. Physical and also mentally challenging. Sure, why not?
Ralph's not going to fence.
I'm with you, Ralph.
Stop saying it.
You're not going to fence.
First of all, I am. And the more you say I'm not going to fence, the more you're guaranteeing that I'm going to fence.
I'd like to get maybe somebody on from the fencing
maybe
studio.
Maybe we'll talk to somebody from fencing.
All
right, and we'll talk about it.
It'd be a lot of fun.
I think that would
be a good interview.
I'm going to bring in a saber or a rapier, and I'm going to carve your ass up. That's what I'm going to do. That's the next step.
I thought you were not a rapier. I thought we established
no,
that a long time ago.
That's raper. It's very different. Will Ferrell saw Will last night at the premiere of The Campaign. Very, very funny movie, by the way. I'll give you that much. We'll talk more about
Love
next
it.
Week. But you will. I was laughing hard and out loud.
Can't wait.
I haven't laughed that hard and out loud since, well, Ted. But before that,
But is it that guy?
I think this is Zach's best performance.
Really?
I really do, yeah.
Better than either of the Hangovers?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because the Hangover was sort of a one-note sort of weird thing he gives. This is a very nuanced and three-dimensional character he creates for this film.
Can't wait.
It's not nearly as goofy or as broad as you might think. I mean, it's crazy. It's wacky. It's out there. But it tells a real story, and it's got sort of an interesting message about politics in the world today. Now, Kevin, stop it.
Oh, not a message.
But it's very...
I don't want a message.
It's very much in the background, talking about how politics really doesn't help people anymore. It's not for the citizens.
Message.
How many things does Kevin have to hate before Beerbug pulls up the "Why Does Kevin Hate" jingle, by the way?
He's had it many times. I just don't play it.
Yeah. Right, and the problem with that is Ralph's setting up the Will Ferrell Conan clip, right? No?
I am trying to get to that, yes. Will was on Conan before he came to the premiere last night. I thought he'd be talking about the campaign on Conan, but it turns out he's got bigger issues on his mind. First and foremost, the breakup of Kristen Stewart and Rob Pattinson.
How could he possibly care about that?
He cares passionately.
There's this actress, Kristen Stewart, okay? And she goes by K-Stew. She had a boyfriend, right? And Robert Patterson. And he's our pass. And
he's okay.
And she cheated on him. And... and they're broken up. They're not going to get back together ever.
I'm sorry.
And what they had was so special, Conan. You don't even know what they had. They were in love.
Conan Poor tries to Will. Defend himself by saying, I've been in love. I know what it's like. And he wouldn't have it.
Oh, that's so sad.
I've been in love. Oh, not like them. Not like them.
Never seen you.
She is a trampire. Yeah.
Call up your dictionary friend. Get that in the dictionary. That's where that belongs.
Will's just the funniest guy in the world. He just is.
He sure is. We were talking yesterday, last night rather, because he was in Philly. They did a promotional stop with Zach in Philly. And so it's a film about politics and stuff. So they did it at... Constitution Hall there in Philadelphia. And if you've ever been in Philadelphia, you know they have the Old Town District, which is where they have Constitution Hall, where they signed the Declaration of Independence, and all the historical buildings are in one centralized area in downtown Philadelphia. So that's where they're doing their press thing. And they had a funny moment where they were both signing the Declaration, adding their signatures to the Declaration of Independence. And he said to me last night, he said, yeah, I wonder if that's what the Founding Fathers had in mind, that the Declaration of Independence would be used as a cheap, gimmicky marketing stunt for an R-rated comedy. I wonder if they were thinking that far ahead when I was sitting in Constitution Hall. So it's very funny. He's just a great guy.
Philadelphia, period. Hey, I've been saying that my whole life. Hey, I'll be saying it until the day I die. True.
Come on.
Philadelphia.
That took a wrong turn.
Don't like that guy.
Today's celebrity birthday is Tony Bennett. 86 years old today. Actor Martin Sheen turned 72. Martha Stewart, 71 years old. John Landis, the movie director, 62 years old. John C. McGinley from Scrubs, 53 years old. Someone told me he's on... something else. Burn Notice, maybe?
Yes, Burn Notice. Yeah.
James Hetfield of Metallica, 49 years old today. Stephen Carpenter, guitarist for Deftones, is 42. Spinderella of Salt and Pepper is 41. And Evangeline Lilly... from Lost, 33 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Ralph has been obsessed all day with a quiz that a listener sent him.
Yes.
That we're going to give Bean on Monday on a brand new show. And
The Asperger's test.
I wonder how
he'll score.
Plus, LaQuisha keeping up with the Kardashians.
I score as well as I would in a fencing match.
And funny man Jay Moore.
Wow.
Monday morning's Kevin and Bean show. Have a great weekend.
Gotta go fence. I'll see you all later.
Not gonna fence.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Just wanna be free, man.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I'm not sure what that means.
Roll another one.
But it's Dr. Drew, and I am a registered sex offender.
Just like the other one.
Is it any wonder the rest of the world hates us?
No way. No way. Get real.
Excuse me. It's been brought to my attention that a few bad apples out there are smoking marijuana. I've got news for you, my friend. Marijuana's illegal. Not cool. All right, then.
Roll.
tap that ass.
Just like the other one.
I deserve delicious sausage.
This one seems to be about to end. I don't have another sin.
So the table stuck its head out of the guy's ass and said, "Where's my damn lemon cookie?"
Just picture it as like a dude's dong.
Just pass it around.
How's Taco Bell gonna make money off of that?
I don't know about that joint, my friend.
Today I'm so excited.
I just pass it on down.
Why am I sticky and naked? Did I miss something fun?
What say you and I blow this pop stand and head off for a spot of slap and tickle?
I'm gonna stop this because this isn't working.
That's it. No more. Over and out.
Well, I think we know the results of the sound check. Did it sound horrible? Check!
Austin, you're on the air. Good morning. We're doing open phones.
Hi, am I on the air?
Yep. Thanks.
Does wow suffice?
Well done. Wow might be an understatement.